The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback. Two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Now,
he gives the ball. No, he doesn't. He doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about faking. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Not like you could use a shower. Oh, listen, you can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy. And Andy?
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them, too!
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now,
please.
Not yet. PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
A career-long equaling field goal from 56 yards out for the win in overtime. Quigley to hold. Wacky down at the 46. Kick is airborne to the uprights. It's sailing toward the sticks, and the kick is no good. He missed it. There's a penalty marker down.
Oh, they're not going to call jumper, right? That takes
the
some
officials
guts.
On the play, unsportsmanlike conduct. Defense, number 94, for pushing the opponent into the pile. 15-yard penalty, automatic, first down.
Penalty on the rookie, Chris Jones. New rule.
Oh, no! We suck again!
All right, well, Bob Soucy had it. He knew right away it was the new rule. And the new rule is what everyone has been talking about since the Patriots lost that game, 30-27 to the hated New Jersey Jets. Come off the ledge, folks. It's not that bad. This is the bottom of this season. We have hit bottom. We're going up. From this point on, we're going up. So don't worry about it. We hit bottom. It needed to happen. This offense needs to be slapped in the side of the head, and it will get better. I'm promising you right now. I was as pissed as you were probably after this game, but I'm not blaming it on that play, that field goal. They had this game won 21-10. They had a chance to go up even higher, more than one opportunity, good field position. The offense blew it. They'll get better. And we're going to talk about that for the next 2 hours here in PFW in Progress.
Brian Morey's here, and he's giving a very quizzical look as if to say, who is this man talking, and what happened to him?
Screw him.
Right?
Brian's here.
Is that the look that you have on your face?
Andy's not. He broke his tooth, but he'll be here at some point. I think he dropped it.
Popped him.
He dropped a dumbbell on his mouth, I think, last night or something like that. But he'll be here at some point. Paul's
here. He lifts
here.
Things
Kevin's
up and puts
booth.
Them down.
Brian's here to promote his speaker series, but we're not going to talk about that right yet, okay?
It is Tuesday, and it's a therapy Tuesday, so.
Right. So we have to talk about this game. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. If you want to call us toll free, it's 855-PATS-500. So, guys, what do you think?
I think your opening assessment was very well done.
Okay.
And
very optimistic.
No, well,
the hell shouldn't it be?
But I don't think we should lack the optimism. I'm probably a little bit less sure that the offense is going to be fine. Like, Fred likes to just put things as fine. But
that's
overall, the game itself, I agree. I think the offense had opportunities to blow that game open and didn't. The wasted opportunities at the end of the second quarter, I think, came back to haunt them. And the Patriots offensively in the third quarter were about as bad as it gets. And they were completely dominated in the third quarter.
In the trenches.
In the trenches, on both sides of the ball, by the way. I know a lot of people are pointing to it, the average yards per carry that the Jets had. But much like I say all the time, you know, like you give up a lot of yards, that matters. I know people just dismiss the yardage. They used to dismiss it when the Patriots finished 32nd in football in passing yards. Because yards don't matter. Yards do matter.
No,
yards allow the team to control the ball for 46 minutes.
I agree
minutes.
With that, but I think that had the Patriots taken advantage offensively, the Jets wouldn't have been able to
run as much
as they did.
Well, that's
we
true.
Started
right.
with that. But they wouldn't have had 177 yards rushing.
No,
if they
Paul,
didn't do
going
that.
Going into the game without Wilfork and Mayo and Kelly, you would say, look, teams are going to run on us. That's what, you know.
Well, 46 minutes is not passing yards. That's rushing. That's being able to control the clock,
but what I'm saying,
convert on third down, and run the football to keep the clock moving.
But a lot of people point to how the yards don't matter. It's only points. And
of
I would
course,
say
they don't keep track of yards on the scoreboard.
In the Super Bowl in Indianapolis, 46, I think it was. I forget the numbers on all of them.
We've been to so many now that you forget the numbers.
Well, that's true.
I know.
I can get arrogant and obnoxious with the best of them. I don't even remember what numbers they were. We're there all the time.
It's true.
Listen, but that day, the Giants didn't run the ball. They threw it. But Manning completed them all. He went 30 for 40.
Right.
That allowed them to control the clock.
Mm-hmm. Also,
yards mattered that day, even though the Giants only scored 23 points or whatever it was. What was it, 21? 20, whatever. Whatever many points the Giants scored.
I forget about the losses.
The time of possession was huge in that game, and the yards mattered. It's not a good thing to allow the other team to move the ball at will. I know that we just ignore it,
but I will
but
say
it's
this.
Not good.
Even when you do that, if you give up field goals instead of touchdowns, you usually win.
Yeah, I know.
Especially this team.
Situationally,
offense,
you can get away with it. But this team in particular,
well,
you have to
the
be almost
right now to make up for
perfect.
It.
Situationally to win games because the offense is not scoring very much.
Well, I mean, it was 21-10, and they had thrown a touchdown to us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like our offense was moving the ball up and down the field.
And one of the other touchdowns came on a 28-yard drive that Edelman had like a 40-yard punt return to set him up at the 28.
But I think when you look at this game, you know, in particular that third quarter, it was total domination up front by the Jets defensive line. Wilkerson was a beast. I mean, he was just disruptive.
No one makes fun of me for wanting to pick him. Ever notice that?
Every time Brady got the ball, Patriots got the ball, he was sacked on first or second down. And what did they have, minus 6 yards for most of the third quarter?
Yep.
Late in the third quarter,
they started to put together a drive.
They were
negative yardage, I think, in the third quarter, right?
I don't know what the total was, but it was something like that. And finally, they seemed to make an adjustment. Either that or the Jets started rushing three, which they did late in the game a little bit. And you know, the Patriots still had trouble moving the ball with any consistency. Had a chance with 3.5 minutes to go down and win the football game in regulation and ended up settling for a game-tying field goal. And then had the ball first in overtime and couldn't do anything with it. The chances were there. Listen, the penalty is the penalty. I think it was a horrendous call.
I said going into the game, this game came down to our offense versus their defense, and their defense won. I mean, that's it. We, you know.
Obviously, Brady's pick six was you know,
well, remember,
killer,
the pick six came after he had been sacked. He was rattled.
I agree.
You know, and
do you think he gets more rattled now than he used to?
No.
Do you think?
I think any quarterback gets rattled when he thinks, pressure.
I think he's lost a little bit of mobility within the pocket.
You think he's a little bit more like Bledsoe?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. And, you know, I think that Brady obviously is still an elite quarterback. But I think we used to sit there and praise his mobility within the pocket. He was never a runner,
obviously. Look, I've seen him still do it really well this season.
At times. I mean, he had some slide-ups the other day that we created some room for himself.
When guys come in clean, what are you going to do?
No, I mean, I'm not talking about those. Well, I'm talking about the ones where he kind of tucks the ball a little early.
Go to Cincinnati in this game. That happened a lot.
You don't think he tucks the ball a little bit more than he used to? Sometimes he tucks it and then realizes he's not going to get hit.
I don't think he's as good in the pocket as he used to be. I don't think he steps into throws as well as he used to.
And I think that's because he doesn't trust his protection as much.
Well, when he knows he's going to get hit, too. Now, that part of it, the offensive line, to me, is something that hasn't gotten enough attention. I don't think they've played very well.
Well, and you know it because you see on the sideline, it was very clear to everyone watching the TV, Mankins just laying into his teammates. And they know. They know whether it's a communication thing or just getting beat one-on-one. They know.
And I think that they benefited,
and there was
by the
clear one-on-one losses.
For the protection issues, they benefited. Rex, at the end, sort of resigned himself to the fact that they were probably going to give up the field goal. And he just he was rushing two and three guys. He never sent anybody on those last certainly the last drive, but I don't remember really much the last two drives of regulation. And I think that did the Patriots a favor because I think if you give Brady time, he'll find somebody generally.
Yep.
So now in terms of the penalty, I mean, it's been the rage, this whole Pushgate thing. I think it's the facts are out now. The Patriots, all the teams, were given a warning at some point this season, not too long ago. And the Patriots thought they had this gray area, but they did not clearly understand
the old gray area.
You know, and Belichick, to his credit, admitted that. The Patriots were wrong.
I give Bill a lot of credit for that.
Here's what pisses me off,
but,
okay?
But wait, what was the Tom Curran report after the game?
There was
the
a story on Patriots on NFL.com that explained the rule. The story was incorrectly written. So if you went on there after the game, you saw where there could have been a gray area.
That not on the line of scrimmage.
Right.
That was incorrect?
Yeah, within 90 minutes. Yes, that was incorrect. That was the last year. Within 90 minutes, NFL.com had scrubbed that and corrected it. So, yeah, that makes NFL.com look really bad.
Conspiracy theory.
What the teams were told was correct. Had nothing to do with second level and all this. So what pisses me off is not that they called this or the timing of it. What pisses me off is the Patriots, even if they thought there was a gray area in this rule, and they were right, why chance it at that moment of the game?
But my
question
is something
they clearly are doing all year.
Right.
But obviously this has been going on around the league, correct?
No.
I mean, it's only the Patriots doing it?
They found one other evidence in the
Steelers. Well, I didn't say the Patriots were the only ones to do it, but I don't think that it happens on every field goal the way that people have.
Well, okay, people have gone and looked, and the only one they could find was one in Steeler-Miami.
I thought somebody said the Jets did it on their on the game-tying field goal.
There's one that made the rounds that is not the same to me. Copel's sort of gets... He slides over to his right and ends up brushing up against the guy in front of him with his shoulder, and they kind of fall into the gap. But I don't think that he is taking a step behind the guy in front and then pushing him with his hands the same way. And Fred actually thought the same thing when he watched it.
And remember, now, look, when it happened, immediately what passed through my mind is, you know, couldn't he have waited a millisecond to see if what the Patriots were doing actually affected the play? Because if it didn't, then don't throw the flag, because it's a split-second thing. But then I stopped myself. That's not why that penalty's in there. It has nothing to do with being able to block the kick or gaining a competitive advantage. It's a safety thing. So it doesn't matter what the result of the play is. You have to call it because it's a safety rule.
And I also think...
And look, I'm not sure I love the rule, but
yeah, I don't.
I'm not mad at this call. I'm mad at the Patriots' offense.
I don't like the rule, and I said that to you Sunday night when you guys got back, and I still
feel... But if it's enforced correctly, that's what it is.
Yeah, right.
But listen,
right.
I didn't like... I mean,
it's like the Tuck rule.
No,
you don't
I'm
like the rule,
say, I'll be,
but
I'm
it was the
be,
right call.
But I'm going to be fair. You know, I'm a homer, and the Tuck rule helped us win a Super Bowl.
You're a homer?
I didn't like that either. Do you know what I'm saying? I didn't like the Tuck rule
right.
either. So this is an example of one that helped us and one that hurt us. I don't like either, you know, and let's put it this way. I was happy when the Tuck rule was eliminated because I think that's a fumble. I think anybody that...
Yeah, I don't want anyone else to be able to...
Anybody that, anybody objectively looking at that play thought it was a fumble. But I agree with Fred's point of view,
too. I believe your quote
too.
Was, standing in the end zone at Foxborough
There's
Stadium.
There's no way they can overturn
if
that.
If they overturn this one, I'm going to Vegas. That was Paul's quote, standing next to me.
Unfortunately, we had
in
to
the
go to
end
Pittsburgh.
Zone, in the snow.
We had to go to Pittsburgh instead.
At which time you said, if they win this game, I'm getting on the bus and singing I'm a Believer.
Yeah, but what I didn't know about that was that Bledsoe was going to play. If I had known that, I would have changed my tune. But I did get on the bus, if you recall.
An empty bus.
And there was no one there. but to Fred, to your point about the rule that I liked, what you said is you can't get into that anyway. Like the whole can't you wait to see if it affects
right.
the play. I mean, what's the difference
no,
between
can't do that.
What's the difference between illegal contact? Should
right.
we only call that if it
right.
affects the play? Should right. we only call a hold
to right. a different receiver?
Meanwhile, the
you know, if a guy gets chop blocked,
yeah,
that's
right.
a safety rule.
Right.
But what happens if you're running a toss to the left and the tight end chop blocks a guy on the right?
The ref doesn't see it because it's on the backside
that,
of the play.
But
not
is
looking.
That less safe, yeah. Or is that any more safe? I don't. Yeah. You know,
and
you
I
need to call penalties if you see them. I understand the time and place. I don't like this rule. I don't. like, I'm starting to write a little bit about this already.
Is this to protect the snapper?
It's to protect the players. They don't want these pileups. It's not just the snapper. On these field goals, they used to overload sides, and they also used to have a situation where
there were a lot of injuries on field goals.
Guys would get bowled over. There was a guy, and I forget the guy's name, for Washington that actually
proposed video evidence for the league.
He got hurt on a play where it was 4-on-1. You know, there's four guys plowing into him, and he couldn't hold up, and he was by himself.
He says, you're told to get low, get your pad level low, and get leverage. He goes, but then you get low, and you have six guys on top of you, you know?
I mean, I guess so. I'll take his word for it. I mean, but
well, he brought in the evidence, sure. And that's why they changed.
Yeah. No, and
I
that's legitimate.
I didn't think what happened on Sunday, what Chris Jones did to me, didn't necessarily look like a dangerous play to me. And that's probably what I don't like about it. I, you know, maybe there's got to be, and I know it's got to be black and white if you're going to have
and
a rule.
And it's got to help scoring for them to change the rule.
All right.
If listen, do you want to take part in this discussion?
I'm sorry. They wouldn't have changed that if it was going to help the defense.
No, don't be like a Boston sports writer. If you want to be at the big boy table, participate in all areas.
Give me rules that they change to help the defense.
Okay. But
they've certainly been more lenient this year, I think, in letting the defensive backs get away with, having their hands on receivers and whatnot. I think they've called more offensive pass interferences this year than I think they normally
finally.
Do.
Finally.
Well, I mean, you wanted examples. I gave you two.
Right? Well, no, I'm not sure that was a concrete example. That's
tell me why we don't like that, Brian, because it gets us off, you know, what we were talking about.
Sorry, go ahead. My bad.
No, but I think that it was the right call. I don't think you can argue it. It was a safety thing, so the whole thing of, you know, it didn't affect the play. The rule was not put in for a competitive thing. It wasn't like you get a competitive advantage, so we're getting – it was because of a safety thing. So what can you do?
Wow.
What you can't do is push. Go up higher than 21-10 when you had the chance.
Right.
Because that would not have allowed the Jets to go to run.
Right.
Geno Smith most likely would have made another mistake if he was forced to pass more, and the Patriots would have won the stupid game.
Give the Jets some credit here, though.
I give their defense a lot of credit.
I give their offense a lot of credit on Sunday.
Their defensive
I don't think
front,
their offense is very good, but I think it played pretty well on Sunday.
Without Santonio Holmes.
Right.
Their defensive front is pretty darn good.
Yes, it is.
Their defense is very good.
I mean, David Harris is good. I mean, Wilkerson is a beast.
I mean, this is a team that...
So it's not like... I'm going to use the Teddy Bruschi quote. Those guys get paid, too. Well, or they're on scholarship, too.
Last year was a kind of a dip down, but over the last 5 years, since Rex Ryan's there, their defense has been very, very good.
Defensively, they were still pretty good last year.
Yeah, they were, but they took a dip down. Yeah,
and they don't even have Rebus Island anymore.
That was more because of the offense than anything else. They get up a lot of return. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
They had a butt fumble.
They gave up a lot of returns for touchdowns last year, and that made the points allowed look worse than it really was.
All right.
And it's still happening this year.
Yeah.
A lot of the points they've given up this year have been on returns like the one Logan Ryan had Smith threw to him.
And by the way, it's absolute BS that the Jets warned the refs before the game about what the Patriots were doing on field goals.
Wow. I don't even know who he is anymore.
Absolutely.
Why are you walking away from every conspiracy theory that we can be mad about?
Because that gives the Jets too much credit.
There you go.
It's absolute BS. They didn't warn the refs about that.
Who said they did?
Well, there's intimations that they did. Rex was asked point blank yesterday, and he wouldn't admit it. Oh, we talk about a lot of things. Trust me, had they done that Sunday night,
he'd be crowing about it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He would have been crowing about it. So that's absolute BS. You know, Albert Breer started that one. You know, trust me, they didn't warn the refs.
They do
about
have
it.
A pretty good special teams coach over there.
Not anymore.
He's not. Well, he's. I saw him though. He's still lurking around. Not on the sideline. He was in the press box.
Westhoff.
Westhoff. Yeah. I gave him a dirty look. He gave me one back.
He was like, "There's Kirsch." But
I have a lot of favorite things about Fred Kirsch, but one of my favorites is just how much he hates the Jets, because I always hated the Jets.
Oh, yeah.
I hate Miami worse, but I always hated the Jets.
Yeah.
I despise the Jets.
I hate the Jets.
He has like a borderline pathological hatred for the Jets.
Oh, yeah. I hate the Jets.
I hate the Steelers, too. November 3rd.
I do.
November 3rd, we better beat the Steelers.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
I hate the Steelers players, and I hate their culture. I hate the Jets everything. The fans, the management, the ownership, the players,
I rooted against the Pirates, who haven't been in the playoffs since 1992, because they're Steeler fans. I can't root for their baseball team because they're Steeler fans.
Right.
I hate them.
See, I like the Steeler fans in that they are so blind for their team. And, you know, on radio, talk radio, even when things aren't going right, they will call in and they'll take their lumps and stick up for Jets fans are pussies.
And all that.
When things are going bad, they hide, they turtle.
No.
They're terrible. Fred, they don't stick up for the team. They get all, you know, Jets suck and all this stuff. They don't stick up for the team in bad times.
Do Patriots fans?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, yeah. For the most part.
Fred just talked himself out of that one in the middle.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, and they're coming in fast and furious. Quickly, Brian, why the hell are you here?
Just because. No. I like Fred
talk
and Paul.
About the speaker series.
All right, we have a speaker series. Sebastian Vollmer will appear at the hall on Monday, 5:30. Q&A with Vollmer and one autograph per person. So it's a pretty fun night. The players are usually very good, very open. It's a very loose, intimate type setting. So it's a lot of fun for fans, and the players really enjoy it and get into it as well. So it's a great opportunity to come out and chat with Sebastian Vollmer and get an autograph. So
Monday night, 5:30. And how do you buy tickets?
Just go to thehallatpatriotplace.com.
Thehallatpatriotplace.com. It's right there on the homepage.
Click on buy ticks.
Buy ticks.
Yeah. It's a little red box up in the
corner. T-I-X?
I might say tickets. I don't recall.
So buy tickets.
Yeah.
On the homepage.
Correct.
Thehallatpatriotplace.com.
Yes.
Sebastian, no, it is a good take. It's really good. And you can
I just like to come and talk football with you guys sometimes.
And you can ask him what's wrong with the offensive line. What was Logan Mankins telling you guys on the sideline?
Great question.
You know, he might answer it.
He might.
You know, because it's
the only things we don't allow in there are injury questions.
Okay.
I jump in on those and cut that off because
right.
I don't want the players answering those questions at the hall because
All right.
We should also – I know it's a Tuesday and we tend to focus on the game, but they're Jacina Anderson from ESPN reporting that Andre Carter is planning on re-signing with the Patriots today.
Okay.
So gives you another piece on the outside.
Here's my take on that. Here's my
okay,
hot sports
but I just,
take
I wanted to, I wanted to get it out there that
yeah.
you know the fact that
my
we knew
hot sports
about.
Take on that is you got two games coming up with offensive lines that are questionable: Pittsburgh and Miami. I think they think get him in here. The only thing he's going to do, we're going to have him do, is rush the passer. I think they can actually benefit from him being here for these next two games.
You don't think he'll be here the rest of the year?
Well, I don't know, but I think they're looking at these two games coming up where these two guys get sacked a lot. Let's do it. Let's take advantage of it. Bring in Andre Carter, and let's yeah. take advantage of that.
I think they're looking more at the fact that they have Rob Ninkovich and Chandler Jones, and that's it. They need more.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're bringing in another guy that they can potentially have helped them on the outside. And he plays we know he plays the run, too. You know, from when he was here in 11, he did a nice job as an all-around. But yeah. to me,
my question is, why is he available?
It adds to the depth.
Yeah.
It adds
yeah.
to your depth. That's yeah. all it does. It's not a needle-moving move.
And my question to Fred would be, what makes you think that this guy's going to walk off the street, because he's not playing, and make an impact in your pass rush next
because
week?
Because that's a very simple thing to ask him to do. And he does it. He's done it. It's like riding a bike.
Okay.
The question is his health. Is he capable of doing it still? He certainly knows how to do it.
And they worked him out in, I think, September.
Right.
And
he was with another team for a while, right?
Not this year.
Oh, who am I thinking of? Oh, the guy that we were supposed to sign. The guy, you know, what's her name, said that we were going to sign him. And
John Abraham.
Abraham.
Oh, he's been dominant,
yeah.
By the way,
yeah.
lately. He had yeah. a really good game the other day.
Right.
Where is he?
He's out west.
What game did I see that he played?
Out west somewhere.
Where is he? West.
How about Freeney? Where did he end
yes,
up?
Yes, Arizona.
Yeah.
The Thursday night game. He had a really good right. game Thursday night.
Right.
Where did Freeney end up?
He had a strip sack of Russell
Freeney's
Wilson.
Hurt. Is it
oh, is he?
Yeah.
I don't know. Because he came
Freeney's
in
out
season.
For the year. He yeah. he actually was playing well for San Diego, but he tore his quad, I believe. Same injury, coincidentally, as Andre Carter had.
All right. We got a lot of emails, a lot of calls stacking up. So let's get to them. Brian, you're welcome to hang out if you want.
As long as you don't talk.
Let's go to Dave in Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Good show so far.
Thank you.
I just want to start this off. While I was listening to you guys, I happen to have the New York ABC on. And I don't know if you guys saw this. At the game, there was a fight where a Patriot fan got into it with a Jet fan. And this guy actually hit a woman.
I do it. And I also heard this guy had been in jail for homicide.
Yeah, homicide at like 17 or something. He stabbed somebody.
Yeah.
Democrats.
All right, that's the first thing.
Well, that's the Jets demographic right there. That's their sweet
yeah,
spot.
I mean, there you go. Hello. Classy fans, classy fans. But here's my two takes on what we got going on here. You know, you're talking about consistency. I think that's the word here. You know, I think we have to have more consistency across the board. You know, from Brady, from the running game. You know, I'm not going to really harp on defense because we are missing some players. You know, so you really can't, you know, they're doing the best they can at this point with what they have. But, I mean, the offensive line, which I thought was supposed to be a strong point of ours, have really been so inconsistent, it's scary. I mean, I think Brady's been sacked, what, 13, 14 times already?
20.
Yeah. There you go, even more so.
13 times okay, the last, you know, 3 weeks.
The last, yeah, right. I mean, you know, but at times, you know, like the last drive against the Saints to protect them. Okay, yeah. You know, so I mean, they're capable of doing it, but they're just not doing it all the time.
Yeah,
not,
and again, those drives at the end of the games when the other team is dropping eight in coverage, they're not coming after
them. That's true, too. I understand what you're saying.
That's the part that, to me, I think you're hitting the nail right on the head, Dave, because to me, the thing that's been eye-opening, I want to give the offense a pass, too, because they're missing a lot of guys. I mean, missing Vereen, but I can't because the reason to me the offense hasn't been consistent is the offensive line, and they're not missing anybody.
And you know, I actually thought, you know, as a fan, that if anything, that was our one strong suit coming into the season, that you could say,
yes,
we have a pretty rock solid line.
I thought it was going to be a real strength, Dave. I'm with you.
Right. So you wonder, you know, there's probably a lot of reasons, and thanks for the call, Dave. You know, there's probably a lot of reasons for what's going on the offensive line, but you know, some of it could be Brady. You know?
Yeah, I don't think he's played great. I think that he's being victimized at times by the youth of the receiving corps, no doubt. I think that he's missed some throws. I think that some throws have probably been accurate but haven't looked accurate because of the guys. I think one that would stand out would be, I think, a potential back shoulder play in overtime to Dobson, where clearly Dobson didn't end up where he was supposed to. That looked Brady was pretty upset about. I have no doubt that that's a big element of what's going on. But at the same time, I think Brady's missed some open guys as well. He hasn't been sharp. Three times this year, under 50% completion percentage,
right,
when that's the most he's ever had in a single season.
You know, when these
and we've
guys,
only played seven games.
Early in games, when teams bring it, you got to make them pay. If you don't make them pay, they get more bold. Al in New Jersey is calling. Hey, Al.
Hey, Al the mailman. I had to stay home for 2 days. Your mail. It's like, you know, the Pats are still 5-2, and the Jets are still a buff behind us. I happen to live in the area, and in New York, they're trying to say, Rob Ryan, let Rex Ryan know what was going on to watch out for the play. So, you know, Rex.
Rex actually, that's one where he definitively said that did not happen.
Yeah. You know, what I didn't like about the penalty, what do we have, about 400 field goals, and they call it on the pass. So, you know, if you're not calling it for other games, and I can't believe 400 field goals since the beginning of the season.
Well, that they include in that number is included point afters too. It's 400 field goals and point afters.
You know, the pass, 1-for-12 against the Jets third down. Weren't they 1-for-12 third down against
the Bengals
also?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, that third down is really ridiculous.
And that's what Fred and I are focused on so far in the show, is the offensive shortcomings that put you in that position.
Yeah, so is it the defense? Is it their defense, or is it just that, you know, the receivers and Brady? And let me say this. You know, just because Brady's a Hall of Famer doesn't mean he can't lose his confidence throwing to receivers that don't catch the ball.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's also true. One other thing, you know, that 58-yard, it was a 58-yard field goal.
56.
That was a desperation Hail Mary kick.
Not okay. To me it wasn't.
Well, but he's been in the league for 7 years. He's a below-average kicker, isn't he? What, 78%? That's below average.
He hasn't missed this year.
And his longest was 56 yards. My point is that, you know, on a Hail Mary pass, when a quarterback throws
it. I don't look at that as a Hail Mary kick.
Well, but
I don't look at that. And I'm not jumping on you, Al, because this is a very common thing in Boston right now. Is you don't call pass interference on a Hail Mary, so therefore you shouldn't have called this penalty on a 56-yard field goal. I don't think you made your point. I hate this rule. I hated it when it happened. Andy and I talked about it immediately. I didn't like it. I don't like the rule. I don't think it's all that dangerous of a play, but I don't think that you should not call something because if it's a 56-yard field goal. I don't think it's the same as a Hail Mary. I think he had an average. I think he had an average chance to make
look,
it.
And when,
in the pregame, both kickers, according to Twitter,
yeah,
I'm not there, but both everybody was tweeting out that kickers were making up to 56 yards in that direction.
And it was a 56 yarder, and it had the distance.
And he just hooked it.
It was just wide.
Did you think? Let me ask you this: it was 4th and 5, right?
I don't know the down and distance, but it was 4th down. I don't know if it was 5 yards or whatever. But
do you think he had a better chance of making 4th and 5?
4th and 7 it was.
Yarder.
It was 4th and 7.
4th and 7. I would have punted, personally, but I don't think it was a bad move at all to kick a field goal and take one play to win the game. I don't think that's a bad move. I think kickers nowadays, they're going to get it there. It's just a matter of if it goes through.
And the way that the Jets
defensively were playing, the game would not have been over.
You know, the Patriots would have had the ball at, what, the 45?
46
yard
line.
Their own 46-yard line. They'd still need to go about 20 yards. And maybe the Jets felt, you know, we're going to stop them. And they had evidence that they could.
And I think that factored into it.
You know, this game was lost in the end of the second quarter and the third quarter.
Sure, but I still look at that kick. I looked at it at the time he was going to kick it. I said to myself, probably because of what happened with the Saints game, with his brother, that he wanted to take the chance right there and not put the ball back into Brady's hand, whether it was the punt and let Brady go down the field and do the same exact thing he did to his brother the week before. That's
possibly.
That was my thought at that time.
You know, that's possible. It's possible.
Yeah, but what's wrong with that? I don't understand. Like, is that bad rationale? I mean, Tom Brady's the quarterback of the other team, and
again,
you have too much respect for him to
Folk,
give the ball back?
Up to that point, I think Folk was like 16 for 16 this year.
He's made every kick, including 50-plus yarders to win games.
He hasn't missed this year. You had a little bit of a breeze with him. It was 56 yards. He's hit a 56-yarder in his career. You know, so that's okay. I don't see any conspiracy that they knew they were going to get a penalty.
I think I would have punted because of the way their defense was playing.
Thanks for the call, Al.
I think I would have punted.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it was a terrible move. I'll tell you what I didn't like was, from the Jets' perspective, is the call on third down. It was 3rd and 5, and I don't really think they tried to get any more yards.
They
ended up losing 2 yards.
They ran Powell right into the line.
They ended up losing 2 yards. Yeah. And I think that they should have tried something a little bit different. Maybe try one of those read option plays where you're sticking it into someone's stomach inside and you're trying to pop out to the edge. Even if you don't get the first down, you're going to get some positive yards. Listen, if that was a 52-yarder instead, it might have been good.
Right. Neil's in Montreal. Hey, Neil.
Hi, how are you doing, guys?
Good.
I guess a few questions, a few comments. I don't want to belabor the penalty at the end because it was what it was. My question for you is Chris Jones, he wasn't on the Patriots roster for a lot of the training camp, was he?
Correct.
He wasn't on it for any of the training camp.
So is it possible... Because the way it works is a training camp, Belichick meets and says, okay, here are the new rules. Is it possible that he was actually never told?
Well, he may not have been, but he was certainly told to do what he did. He was told to stunt, or, you know, what I mean by that is move off his spot and move behind somebody else. So somebody told him to do that. So it wasn't Chris Jones'
fault.
And
he was in Houston's camp for training camp, so he saw the video.
Right. Yeah,
because every player that's in training camp sees those videos.
Yeah, he was told. I mean, he didn't do that on his own.
So whether Gary Kubiak is a terrible coach and didn't ever talk about the rule changes with his team,
possible.
I don't know what they do there.
Yeah.
So you might have a good point, Neil. But he did have access to listen to the referees because they address every team and they show that in video. The same video, by the way, they show the media.
And look, Bill Belichick.
Bob Soucy knew it.
Yeah, the Soucy, the broadcaster, said right away that's the new rule. Bill Belichick admitted they didn't get the rule right. They did not know the rule. I mean, it's as simple as that. It really is. There's no conspiracy.
The next comment or question that I had, really a comment, I guess, to me the offensive line has looked really terrible. And in this game, and I'm doing this from memory, I didn't watch, the coach's version of the film or anything, it looked to me that Solder in particular was getting totally outclassed. And as memory serves me, on the last day of the injury report, I guess that was Friday.
Yes, you're right.
He was on it.
Yeah, he came up with a back injury on Friday, and he didn't play very well on Sunday. You're absolutely right.
And I'm just wondering if the two may have been connected. I realize I think he had to deal with Wilkerson, who's a load anyway. But
it could have been a factor.
Yeah, and I'm sure he won't. He won't take that as a as an excuse. But you know, I don't think you're far off.
The other thing that I guess I disagree with you a little bit, Paul, and that was with the Jets rushing offense. I guess I try to look at it realistically. The Patriots are missing basically a lot of the key points, the key players of their rushing defense.
Right. That's why I'm concerned.
To give up basically 3 yards a play, you know, I think that's probably the Patriots' strategy. We're going to give them a little bit. There's no way we're going to really stop them. And to me, the real killer for the Jets offense is that it seems to me almost all the third down plays that they made were fairly long passing plays, meaning more than 5 yards.
Oh, no, they weren't.
And after they took Arrington out, it improved. But to me, that was the bigger problem, not that they gave up 170
yards.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
if you told me that the Jets were
going to
rush for 177 yards and the Patriots were only going to give up 20 points in regulation by their defense, I'd be like, okay, we win.
That's it. They only scored really 2 touchdowns offensively. And, you know, I think that's as good as you're going to get with all those players who are missing.
Yeah, I totally disagree with you. The Jets completely controlled the game. They controlled both sides of the line of scrimmage. They had almost 400 yards of offense for an offense that can't move the ball. Let's face it, this is not a good offense. It's a terrible offense. And the long third downs that you're talking about, they just really weren't there. There weren't a lot of long third downs. There were some, but they were consistent.
Third and 21.
Well, they had a third and 20 that they converted, yeah. But they didn't have a lot of them. And I thought that they did a good job of keeping him in third and manageable, and he was able to easily manage that, and they converted more than 50% of them for an offense that can't move
for
the ball.
For a while, they were
And if your all-star tight end could catch the ball, they might have scored 40 points in that game.
All right, thanks for the call, Neil. Let's go to we really haven't talked
and
about
by the
Gronk
way,
yet.
And not
Andy's
blaming.
Here. He doesn't want to talk.
But I don't want to blame.
I wasn't going to interrupt. You didn't introduce me, and you guys were rolling.
I don't want to blame Jones and Volano and all the. It's not about the guys that are missing. To me, I mean, it's not about the guys that are in there replacing the guys. I am worried because I think there's a huge drop off.
Yeah.
Some people, like you, Fred, last week, didn't think that that was much of a concern. I don't think that they allow 177 yards rushing.
I'm the one that says Wilfork is going to be missed. You guys don't think he's worth it.
But you told me that there's that these guys, you know, the depth and all that. I don't think the depth is there, and I'm not blaming these guys for not being able to prevent them from running from 177 yards.
I'm not blaming them.
It's not their fault.
I think when you lose Wilfork, Kelly,
this is why
and
I'm
Mayo,
concerned. You're making
that's
my
just
point.
Too much. I think
that's why I'm concerned.
Point. You need to get Kelly back at the very least.
And you throw Tlaib in there, and all of a sudden you're allowing. On third and 20, you're allowing a 22-yard catch on the time when they get a penalty and they get pushed back.
Marcus is in Miami. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
We're just talking Patriots here.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was in Miami. Last time I talked to you guys, I was in Atlanta before we beat the Falcons. I kind of figured we were going to do that. I was in Atlanta. I was in Miami this past week. I live here. I was watching the Dolphins-Bills game, and they have a horrible internet connection all throughout that stadium, so I was only getting updates, like, every quarter. Last time I looked, we were up 21-10, and I was feeling good, and all of a sudden, they flash on the Jumbotron that, you know, Geno Smith ran in for a touchdown, so it was kind of a bum day. They actually end up losing at the end. You know, Tannehill got his ball stripped. But now, you know, I had my Patriots shirt on. There's maybe about two or three of us at that game with Patriots shirts on. And, you know, I kind of was feeling good. And then I felt that we lost. And the only reason I say that is I probably haven't missed any of our games in the past 4 years. This is the first game.
So that's why.
Absolutely.
Can't miss any more games,
Your
Marcus.
Fault, Marcus.
Yeah, it's my. It's all my fault, man. But like I said, I haven't missed a game. But what was the feel of the game like? I've only watched, you know, the replay on our website. You know, I can only see the highlights, but I mean, did we have a chance to win this game at all?
Oh, of course.
You know, before the...
Listen, Marcus, we were up 21-10, and twice we had the ball at least at midfield or in Jets territory, and we couldn't even get a field goal. That was the game right there. We could have put this game away at the end of the half or in the beginning of the third quarter because we had the ball first. Brady got sacked. Then threw the pick six, and that turned the whole game around.
They had three consecutive possessions with a 21-10 lead and went three and out, stalled 2 minute drive, pick six.
That's how those
three drives ended up.
So I mean, the Jets. You got to give credit to the Jets defense. They totally stymied the Patriots offense for most of the game. You know, so. All right. Thanks for the call, Marcus. Let's go to
wait, wait.
What?
Since you want me to interject.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys have brought this up. I wasn't aware of this until I just heard Bert Breer talking about it. In regards to the push rule, apparently 2 weeks ago, a memo was sent out.
Yes. We
that
did
they
talk
had
about
missed.
It.
I mean, it's unforgivable.
We're mad about that. I mean, I'm mad about that. You
Fred,
know, even
Fred,
if
had
you,
a, Fred had a nice
I mean,
rant.
I don't want to bring up the bad history
oh,
at all,
I ranted.
But this is
I ranted.
Brazenly similar
oh,
to
ranted.
Another road we went even, down in the same place. And
even, if,
same
even if the memo had gone out and it didn't clearly explain it, which it did, and you really still felt you had that gray area, why chance it at that point in the game?
Well, you know, I actually think that's one of the only times you do do it.
Yeah, but
because a speed rusher gets a quick kick,
I know.
A low long kick, you might have a chance of an interior fat guy
yeah,
blocking.
I don't think you'd get much.
And
that
I also
much
don't think
advantage.
You're chancing it if you've been doing it for
by
a
the
while.
Time
you,
Chris
it's just
Jones,
what you do.
By the time Chris Jones gets out of his stance, goes behind the other guy, makes the push, the ball's gone.
Yeah, I'm not so sure they look at it that way. I think on a low long
well,
kick,
they clearly do it because
the
they think they have a chance
yeah,
to block it.
Well,
and that's where I think like Ben Volen did the research. There was only one other time. Well. I think this might be something they do on longer kicks.
Right.
I don't
because of the
think
trajectory's lower.
Will Svitek is going to, you know, speed rush in and get regular kicks, but this is a longer,
but you,
lower
but don't
kick.
You do it when you know that you're within the rules?
Yes.
And
well,
you're not
most
chancing a gray area, pushing the elbow. And by the way,
wait, what are you asking?
If it's okay, like, let's just say the Jets did go to, you know, the refs and warn them that the Patriots are doing. You can do that the other way. If you think that, you know, you're doing something that you want the refs to know you're doing, mm-hmm. you can warn them too. Hey, this
sure.
is what we do. I want to make sure you know right. that's what we're
do
doing.
And teams do it with trick plays all the time.
Right.
It's like Sean
keep
Payton
an eye
in the
out
Super
for,
Bowl,
right?
right?
Yeah.
Sean
teams
Payton
do it
in the Super Bowl
all the time.
Exactly.
They came out the second half and he told the refs, we're going to onside kick here. Be ready for it.
Right.
He told the refs.
You
so
can
they,
do that.
They would
it's
be ready.
The Patriots too.
My one positive on it, I was very glad to see Bill come out and shoulder the entire blame and not let Chris Jones just dangle in the breeze.
I thought that was
and
terrific.
Chris Jones, by the way, earned me, you know, this is illegal, so don't do it, Bill, but walk by his locker and put money in it. It's like, he took the fall. You did the right thing after him, but he did the right thing after the game, and he deserves whatever you can do and not have it be a salary cap violation. Chris Jones deserves it.
And Freddie and I talked about that both on and off the air. Really, really well done. I wish
told
that
he was a good guy when I talked to him last week for getting to know.
I give him a ton of credit because I also gave you credit, Andy. 10 seconds after the play happened, when they showed the replay and they showed why the penalty was called, Andy immediately said, absolutely, unequivocally, that this is the way they're taught to do it. You don't do it like that on your own. It didn't just happen by circumstance. That was a complete intentional step back, step to the right, push from behind. That was clearly the way they were taught. And Andy was all over it immediately, and then it took a day for Belichick to tell us this is exactly how we tell him to do it.
And then I found it interesting, Brewski talking about when they used to kill people doing it. Him and Seymour were the guys
so
that
should
did
I
it.
Be less critical of this rule then?
Oh yeah.
The players are talking about
Brewski
how they used
is
to
all
kill
for
people?
The rule.
Okay.
He used
maybe
to say he used to think
I'll
it was so like they would kill people. He was behind Seymour and they would just run guys over and destroy them.
Maybe I'll soften my stance on it if that's something the players didn't say. I know the players were responsible for the rule.
Right. Now, the only problem I have is
why hasn't it been called?
Well, no, but like on a goal line play, it's not illegal for the offense to do it to a defense. Like
right.
It kind of gets back to this is football, and if you're willing to do X, well, okay. I mean, there's a give and take to it.
Yeah,
now, if you're going to overload three guys on my guy, well, what if I run a fake the other way and all your guys are just focused on beating the snot out of my right tackle? Okay, well, you won that play, but guess what? I ran a fake field goal to the backside and you just, I mean, I don't really understand why it's any worse than, you know, double team blocks in a game or a defensive lineman playing fullback and running behind a guard and they blow up. Like,
yeah,
I don't really.
I guess what this one where it can be more than two guys blowing you up. You know, the video evidence that they brought to the league was this guy saying, you know, I'm told to get low and get leverage, and then I have five guys on me and my bones are getting crushed,
but
you know?
That's not illegal on any other play in football.
I know.
It's not illegal when they line up in the goal line and they're all shoulder to shoulder. I mean, anything goes, basically.
Yeah.
So what's the, I mean, and it's the same guys, too.
Right.
Like, it's defensive linemen and offensive linemen, and so what, I mean, Brewski certainly backed up that the rule needs to be in place. It's a safety rule, but I don't really understand.
It could have been because it got brought to them by players that they took more of a.
Yeah, but now I feel like, you know, the nose tackle on the goal line should say, well, it's not fair because the center blocks me and then the guard blocks down on me. And you know how much that hurts? Like, where's the limit?
Chris with the TAN on the phone. Christian, what's going on?
Hold on a second.
Suck it.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Awful. You know, and, yeah, listen, the penalty was terrible. Awful time to call it. Hate the rule, just like you guys do. But, yeah, this game was lost in that third quarter. You know, you're up 21-10, and Brady and the offense played, that offensive line in particular. Brady was terrible in that second half. And this is the second straight week now.
11 for 28, I think, in the second half.
Yeah.
Something like that. That's just poor to me.
Poor to everyone.
Yeah. Well, not everyone, but most people.
And save for that last drive against the Saints the week before. This is 2 weeks in a row now. And you got Mankins just flipping out on the sideline. What is up with this offensive line? I mean, I know you guys just mentioned about the shoulder injury and stuff, but, I mean, I'm assuming Mankins is healthy, Wendell's healthy. I know Conley's been hurt. Palmer, this seems like this, you know, something always, but to give up this pressure is just, especially with Scott over there, like, stuff just isn't getting fixed. Now, the Jets are good. Wilkerson was a man possessed Sunday, no doubt about it. But what, you know, where do you guys see this?
How long are we going to make that excuse? Well, Geno Atkins is good. Muhammad Wilkerson's good.
And I'm not beating up on.
I mean, the offensive line stinks. That's the bottom line. They haven't been good enough.
When you play a guy like Muhammad Wilkerson, he's going to make a play or two in a game.
Yeah, well, I'd like to see us make a play or two.
You have to overcome
that. When it's third and one, get a first down. Yeah. Protect Brady. Don't.
No.
And Brady was terrible on Sunday, but my apologist side of me says, we know when he gets banged around, it adversely affects him.
You're not
you come out of the locker room and you let him get banged around.
My point is, you're not going to stone a guy like all game like Wilkerson, but you got to be better than 1 out of 12 on third
down. Can I ask a question? You say you're not going to stone a guy like Wilkerson. We have a left tackle who's a first-round pick, and in a couple of years will be making a lot of money.
Yeah.
How come we don't say, you know, you can't expect to shut down Julio Jones with
Aqib
Talib?
Not for a whole game? No.
Oh, wait, Aqib Talib did it. Why can't you win? You have a good player, too. Let your good player beat their good player.
So you know, when Orlando Pace was the left tackle, no one ever sacked his quarterback from the blind side. It happened.
But with consistency?
But do you think
getting
that,
your ass whooped week in and week out by
but do you
good
think
guys?
The problem was that Soldier didn't win every battle or that he lost most of them? Because I think he lost most of them, and I think the whole offensive line lost
most
of them.
I didn't think
just
he lost
like they
most
lost
of them.
A lot of them against the
I don't
Bengals
know how you can
when
say
you go
that.
1 for 12.
Yeah.
At some point, play like you're a good player, too. I know the other guy gets paid, but so don't you.
I think the Jets controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides on Sunday. And that shouldn't happen.
Just like Cincinnati did.
Exactly.
I mean, Cincinnati controlled the line of scrimmage that
but
whole
But, I mean, Christian, be fair, they're good. So, it's you know, we're not allowed to criticize the offensive line.
And that's probably my point. Like,
no, he's being sarcastic, Christian.
I know he is. Yeah. But this line is comprised of high draft picks that are supposed, like Andy said, that are supposed
and making
to
money.
Well, I'm
three of the top five highest cap numbers on
two
the team.
Ones and a two.
Offensive linemen. Two first-round picks. Offensive linemen. Ryan Wendell, I give a pass because he's just kind of the guy in the middle who came along. Okay. But play up to your resume.
And you not know, only
I feel,
the offensive
the commentary
line.
I wrote 2 weeks ago, I feel even stronger about now. The offensive line, instead of being a strength to help all the changes around them, has been a weakness.
Right. And, Christian, I'm not beating up on you with the whole, the Jets are good thing too, but we don't really think that. No one really thinks that. No one really thinks the Jets are any good, but we played them twice now, and I'm sorry, but they're not worse than us. They're not.
I know they're not. And that's, to me, honestly, that's the scary thing.
You know, that to me was worrisome. Like, the way those games unfolded, we're probably lucky we came out with a split.
I know. No, that's you're right.
We're going to get better. Right. We've bottomed out.
I know. Listen, Fred, I know that. I'm just talking about what's happening now.
I know.
I can't say what's going to happen the next nine games.
This is one of those divisional games where the other coach got the best of us.
And I'll leave you with this question.
Twice.
What did you guys think of Hightower's play? And I'll get off the phone.
All right. Thanks, Christian. I wasn't impressed. You know, I have to admit, I saw him trailing a lot. I think he makes one or two plays a game. I know you guys don't think he does anything.
No, that's not true. Don't say that.
I didn't see him do anything in this game.
He had a bad game.
I was going to ask you what the one or two was this game.
Right.
He had a bad game, but he makes plays occasionally, not big plays.
Right.
But I just get back to, it's like we're forcing this square peg into the round hole. I know he's 270, but he can cover. Well, guess what? He can't.
Yeah.
So figure out a different way to do it. He can't do the job you think he can do.
And by the way, I saw Jamie Collins out there to start the game. I never noticed him again after that.
Well, he came out for a while.
I know. He only had about, yeah. I know, but
he didn't play a ton.
I literally did not notice him on the field once.
He
did nothing.
The Patriots, to me,
unless he did things that I don't know, but that were good on the
You know who I thought played really well defensively the other day was McCourty. I thought he was pretty active. Yeah. I thought he did a good job tackling, and I thought he did a good job of recovering to make a couple of plays. The one in the end zone, to me, is a flat-out drop, but still a good play by McCourty to get over there and make sure he didn't. It wasn't able to secure it on the double catch on your boy, Sudfeld Light. Jeff Cumberland, wow, what a bad game he had.
He started out good.
What a bad game he had.
He did suck.
You can't play much worse as an athletic tight end as that.
And it was uncharacteristic reading some of the stuff they did.
Yeah, he has
they
pretty good hands.
They said by far it was his worst effort.
Yeah.
In terms of that.
And I'll tell you, ball making plays. Huge play that no one will ever talk about was his drop on the sideline in the fourth quarter. That the Patriots would have never even gotten the ball back had he made that catch.
Yeah. And that Chandler was Jones, catch. I thought, played.
Chandler Jones
well.
Played
yeah,
pretty
Chandler
well.
Yeah, Chandler Jones, I think he
but
played.
The problem is we're like, well, this guy was okay.
No, but I
you're
think
picking
Jones
a couple, you need all
I
of
think
it.
Jones really did have good pressure and, you know, forced Geno Smith to move, and I think he had a good game. I think Ninko played all well. I think the defensive line overall played pretty good. I just think that they didn't get enough from Hightower.
I didn't like
– you know.
I thought there were times those guys in the middle were getting pushed
around. Got blown out. And I didn't like the overtime drive.
I think it was Jones. I don't want to confuse him, but I think it was Jones was like 6 yards downfield, and it reminded me of Ron Brace in Buffalo on roller skates.
But I also think the Jets did a pretty good job putting the Patriots on their heels. You know, they were always worried about Geno Smith maybe running with the ball, which he did successfully.
Yeah, but that's not a reason for Chris Jones to get his ass whooped.
You know,
Chris Jones being the guy he is, which isn't Vince Wilfork, which isn't Tommy Kelly,
well, yeah.
which isn't that big, which
there
isn't
is
that
a
experience.
There's a reason why Kelly and Wilfork are who they are.
Right, but I can't just say they played fine.
But
they didn't.
Yeah, I don't think they played fine. I think at overtime especially, they didn't do anything. They just lined up and said, we're coming right at you. We know you know we're coming right at you. And they grinded out like three first downs.
Like, I don't hold Chris Jones to the same standard as Dante Hightower.
And I know they only averaged 3 yards a carry, but they got first
down. I can say Jones is okay because he is who he is. Hightower, it's not good enough. You're in your second year. I traded up for you. You're supposed to be one of my leaders, my playmakers, my versatile guys, and you ain't doing crap.
Let's go to John in Montana. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Hey, got a comment, and then I've got a question. The comment, I was listening to Mike and Mike yesterday morning, and Mike Ditka, he had a – did you guys happen to listen
no.
to his comment about the rule?
No.
Just he couldn't believe – the rules in place. I mean, he said that it looked like Jones pushed the man in front of him like maybe 2 inches, and how the refs were able to call that. And that's just Mike Ditka's point.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not how far you push him. If you push, it doesn't matter whether the guy on the other side held up nicely or not.
I would just ask, what did you see? Did you see Chris Jones push Will Svitek?
I did not. I could not see it.
Really?
Did you not watch the game?
You know, the replay I saw, I mean, it was. You know, it's that thing. I don't think it's ever been called before. Is that correct? That was
yes.
The first
well, I will say
that's
this:
the first time. It's only been on the books for 7 years.
I will say this: if
and everybody else had their wrist slapped, and
I will say this: if the ref hadn't called it, I don't think you'd hear the Jets complaining.
No, I agree.
I don't think you'd hear it publicly, but I think they probably would say something.
The whole sending the tape thing of 20 plays.
I
like
don't think
the Dolphins,
anyone would have said a word.
They absolutely.
Well, the Dolphins did against the Ravens. That's how everybody got the memo.
I don't think anyone would have said a word.
I agree.
Wait, do you mean publicly or internally?
Anyway, I don't
think why did the Dolphins.
I don't think
the Jets Dolphins just did it last week.
I don't think the Jets would have been complaining that the Patriots violated that rule.
No.
Well, they were complaining pregame. They're going to send it as one of their tapes.
They did. The Jets did not complain pregame.
But I have no idea what happened pregame. But to say that
those reports are inaccurate,
I think you're wrong because I think every team, virtually every game, has a call to Dean Blandino's office to explain about things that they saw during the game that weren't called.
Well, they send in tapes.
And
that happens every week for every team.
And that's exactly what would have happened. We would have never known about it. Although with Rex Ryan, you never know. He might have told us that he did it.
Yeah.
But I disagree with you, Fred. I think that every game, everybody's complaining about everything.
I think in this particular play, you wouldn't have heard, the Patriots did this and we should
have. No, you wouldn't have heard that. But Rex Ryan may have made a call to Dean Blandino. You wouldn't have heard all of the stuff that you're talking about. I agree with you.
I'm pretty sure
Miami,
the way I understand it,
I didn't hear about that until
all 32 teams do it every week. They send in a cut-up of
Blandino's,
a dozen plays.
Blandino said it.
I mean, that's the way the NFL works. Whether it's a big thing or a minus thing, they put together their cut-ups
right.
And send it to the
league.
Oh, I know
they do that.
So that would have been on the list.
I don't think this one would have been on the list.
So then why was it on the Dolphins list?
Why,
like,
yeah.
I don't understand.
Like, why did Miami just do it?
Well,
we wouldn't have heard about that if this play didn't happen.
Right.
All right. What else, John?
Yeah, my question had to do with Austin Colley. I thought that was a great debut against the Saints. You know, the two catches that he made, critical catches. And I looked, you know, I went back and I'm like, you know, was Austin Colley on injured reserve? I actually asked a couple of questions. Like, one was on the Patriots Facebook page and then one from your guys' page, I think. But anyway, was there just not a place, or why didn't they use Austin Colley on Sunday?
Well, they did use him, but they didn't go to him a lot because we were busy throwing it to Gronkowski 17 times. So
I love when Fred gets mad.
And, you know, that's a bad thing.
Okay, you guys remember, you got a friend in Montana.
Okay, yeah. Thanks, John. I love the fly fishing out there.
He did have a couple of targets. He caught one, and then he somehow didn't manage to get his second foot in bounds on the second one, and that was it.
You're mad that they threw Gronk. No, it's out of whack. It's not appropriate.
Yeah, I don't like that they threw the ball 17 times to him. I'm with
Fred. He should really be trying to get Austin Colley involved so his career can end.
I think there had to be somebody else open. Eldridge,
well, I don't necessarily think that, but I don't like Gronkowski 17 times.
I do want to get to some emails. But,
I'm just, when in doubt, I'm okay with the theory, throw it to Gronk. Like, when in doubt, throw it to Gronk. He's bigger. He catches better than anybody else on the field. When in doubt, go to Gronk. I'm okay with that theory.
Yeah, well. TG and NJ says, Fred's right, we're at the bottom now. The team is decimated with injuries. The offense is inept. The defense can't stop a nosebleed. Brady's lost his composure. The calls are going against us. Belichick doesn't know the rules. And the one big tell sign that we have bottomed out, Brian Morey is back in PFW. Can it get any worse? Let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
Well, of all the teams lose to the confound Jets.
I know.
You know.
I know.
But I got to agree with, I think it was Paul. They whooped our butts on both sides of the line. You know, at first I thought we were getting the best of them. I'm talking on defense-wise, but offensively, that's the worst. I don't see them play except for them two Super Bowls. Offensively. You know, and I just don't get it. But my question is, of all the holes we got on defense and offense, people, IR and everything, why they ain't filling them? Well, I know you can't bring anybody in expect to play next week or whatever, but why you ain't bringing people in that can help you a week or so later? You know what I mean? We got, what, 7 spots to get players in? Or maybe 8? And we ain't got nobody?
What are you talking about?
What are we talking about?
Eldridge thinks we should be bringing in a lot more new players to fill holes.
Like who?
That's a question to you, Eldridge.
A better linebacker. No.
I didn't say what position. I said who.
Who?
Who's better than what you have, and who can play immediately better than what you have? They did it with Austin Colley. Give them credit. They brought in Austin Colley. They decided he was better than Josh Boyce.
And they're bringing in Andre Carter.
I never brought in Austin Colley.
What?
I never brought in Austin Colley.
Okay, so then what do you want him to do?
So you can't be too choosy with guys that are available on Halloween. There's a reason that they're available. You brought in Austin Colley a couple of weeks ago. You're bringing in Andre Carter reportedly today.
Who are both available because of physical limitations.
Right. I mean, I don't understand. Do you think that there's like...
Reggie White's not
going to be available.
You know, and the thing is, certainly Eldridge, not. There's a lot of teams with a lot of holes right now. You know, the Colts just lost Reggie Wayne for the season. You know, who are these guys that all the other teams are signing to?
Well, I just figured it's a little more depth out there free agency-wise.
Well, see, I think you can criticize the internal depth. We all talked about this being a team that lacked depth starting the season. You can change that the way you build a team over the course of a spring and a summer. But right now, you're taking crap off the crap heap.
Thanks for the call, Eldridge. Let's go to Mikey Vandalism. Hey, Mikey.
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
I'm actually pretty aggravated. I have a huge gripe with this new rule. I just don't understand it. Frankly, the whole reason for it is, from what I understand, it's to protect the players, correct?
Correct.
Now, how come this doesn't affect the offense anyway? I know Andy brought it up earlier, but you see it all the time with running backs pushing a fullback into the end zone. Or you saw it when we faced the Bengals, they had the D-tackle Pecco come in.
Well, that's Andy's point is, you know, that type of, you know, bunching up on guys and using 3-on-1, 2-on-1 happens a lot. So why just on a field goal?
I think they need to review the rule and try to enforce it. If they're going to enforce it, they need to enforce it on both sides of the ball.
Well, I don't want that. I don't want them more steps towards wussification of football. But I do find it interesting that Teddy Bruschi, who was not the guy getting hit, he was one of the hitters, said this rule should be in place. It's a safety issue. It is ridiculous. I mean, I take his word for it. I mean, it's not like it was sour grapes and he was the right guard getting blown over by two big guys. He was having fun using Richard Seymour as a battering ram, and he thinks this rule is appropriate. So I defer to him.
All right.
Also, did you guys watch the game at all on Sunday night?
Sunday night?
I saw a little.
Yeah, a little bit. Yep.
What do you guys
second
think
half?
Of Darius Butler becoming all of a sudden this big-time player for the Colts.
Yeah, I would stop short of that, but he's played pretty well for them.
I also think they let him hold on virtually every play that I saw.
Well, and that's, you know, it's funny.
He had to grab a jersey here.
But I'd made that comment to you. I said, it seems to me that they're really letting defenses get away with a lot more than they did last year and the year before in terms of defensive holding. They're real, especially if you're playing press coverage. You can do almost anything. They're treating it almost like a vice guy. And I think that's, you know, that's the only way the defense is. I thought, you know, it was amazing. Like, I thought the Colts defense absolutely kicked the crap out of the Broncos the whole game. And then you look up at the end and they still had 33 points. It's like, I don't know what you do.
Right.
I don't know what you do.
I mean, he's connecting on touchdown passes that look like ducks. Did you see that
And they
one?
Probably should have had another touchdown right. if the guy doesn't fumble at the 2-yard line.
Right.
You know,
yeah, that was a weird game. The broadcasters, thanks for the call, Mikey. When Hillman fumbled the ball at the 2-yard line, it's like
they lost
the broadcasters didn't even make a big deal about it
because they didn't know. They didn't know
that was
a fumble.
Game. You know,
they didn't know it was a fumble. And number one,
I was like, why aren't they like making a big deal about this?
And then they got infatuated with whether or not they were going to check the replay to see who recovered it, which you can't.
Right.
So they lost their way in that segment there.
Scott is in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. It's time for one of my two calls per year.
Okay.
Doesn't feel like
the pleasure.
Bitching.
Well, usually, you know, I just keep it at two. I wasn't going to call, but color me frustrated. But not against the Patriots or anything, but against Patriots fans. You're driving me crazy. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback I have ever seen, period. And I'm gonna tell you something. Most people probably can't appreciate how difficult it is what he's doing. When receivers run incorrect routes and they're in the wrong place, when you take a game like this and then you throw all of that added pressure on top of it, it's impossible. I mean, it is impossible. It amazes me that he was able to do what he did. Now there were a couple of overthrows. Granted, he's not perfect, but that first pass to Gronkowski. On that play, if you go back and look at it, Dobson is on the outside, and he runs a 5-yard in cut. And Brandon Bolden is on the inside, and he cuts out. The two of them wind up face-to-face. Now, I'm not in the Patriots locker room, but I can tell you at least one of them ran the wrong route. They did the wrong thing. And they're standing there. They're, like, running right at each other, and they're like, what are you doing here, Earl? What are you doing here? But neither one of them looks back at Brady. And Brady throws a ball past him and hits Gronkowski, who gets the first down. Yeah. Now, with that kind of thing going on, I'm telling you, it amazes me. He must be incredibly frustrated. That's the first thing. And then let me go back a bit to when they drafted Brady. Because this, like I say, I hear you guys talking, and I just resist calling. But when they drafted Brady, I believe they wanted him. Obviously, they didn't know what he was going to be, but I think they really wanted him. And they knew they could get him where they got him, and they got him. Because you had to remember, you had a franchise quarterback who's probably one of the top five quarterbacks in the entire league on your team. And you had pretty good backups, and you had Michael Bishop, who was young and talented. We didn't know who's going to fit.
Well, I think Dick Raybine looked up and in the sixth round said, wow, he's still available? Let's take him. And they took him.
I think it's as simple as that. If they wanted him, they would have took him in the third round.
And they're on record saying that.
No. Well, they kept him.
They had four quarterbacks.
Oh, they kept him because they thought he had promise.
And they saw his talent
exactly.
Once he was here.
By the way, Michael Bishop couldn't play, and they knew that.
Once he was here, they knew what they quickly realized what they had and elevated him, remember, from fourth to second.
But that has to count for something.
Yeah.
You have a
absolutely.
Quarterback,
well, why are we arguing this?
I don't understand. Who are you arguing with?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying that gets thrown around too much. People say,
well, they got lucky.
Don't want him,
well, it was
whatever,
lucky.
Blah, blah, blah.
It was a lucky pick. I mean, that's right.
But it wasn't luck to keep him.
It wasn't luck to keep him.
And it wasn't luck when they put him in and said, it's not like Belichick was going into week and saying, we're done. You know, we don't have
it. It was luck.
They liked Brady.
You don't take the greatest, arguably the greatest quarterback of all time in the sixth round and not think that that's luck. If you thought that that's what he was, you should have taken him in the first round.
No, you always say this thing about trading down. Why did they trade down? I think they trade down and
no. Scott, but you're saying that they like took a risk, basically, and thought, we can get him in the sixth, so we don't need to take him in the fifth.
They knew what he was. Right. They wanted him. They knew when no one else knew, so they just waited until the sixth
round. There's no way,
Scott.
That's
impossible.
I don't know what everybody else thought. I just know that the Patriots wanted him.
Well, if they wanted him, they would have taken him earlier. That's what I'm telling you. Wouldn't have taken David Nugent before him.
Yeah. I think that Dick Raybine looked up, wow, Brady's still available. Said, hey, let's take him, and Belichick said, okay.
This is a team that drafts Matthew Slater in the fifth, and Zoltan, if they want somebody, they don't care that it's a little out of whack.
Right.
They go get him.
Right.
Well, Jerron Harmon. If they didn't draft him there, do you think anybody else would have taken him?
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sixth round. Well, then.
My guess would be yes, because
there was no risk. They used the pick on him. I mean, you look at
the risk is think he's going to be great and you lose out on him because you're waiting to 199.
If you are so arrogant that you think that
you're the only one that knows how good Tom Brady could be, that's wrong.
I mean, if you think
I'm not saying they knew what he was, that he was going to be what he is. Of course not. They didn't know that.
Right. So it's lucky.
And he was worth them drafting him. He was one of their draft picks.
Right.
I think they wanted him.
Like Ryan
Mallett. Of course they wanted him. They took him.
Well, like
every player they draft, they believe is worthy of being drafted.
They drafted Cliff Kingsbury.
Right, but nobody else did.
Yeah.
So you can't put the Patriots in that same boat.
Wait, how do you know number 200 wasn't taking him or 201? I mean,
this is absurd.
Yeah. Scott, we're on the same team here. I don't know why.
Brady's good. We're glad we have him.
Yeah.
Well, the fans need to know that. They're driving me crazy.
They're driving you crazy because you're the only one that doesn't see the luck in taking someone 199th that turned out to be arguably the greatest player who ever played the game.
Well,
that's why they're driving you crazy.
Patriots for their drafting style, and this is one.
It's not a drafting style. This Tom Brady had nothing to do with the style.
This wasn't that draft him lower for value thing.
This was we're going to take a quarterback late in the draft, and this is the guy they identified as that guy.
This wasn't one of those trading down things.
Dick Raybine was given a task. Dick Raybine was given a task by the.
Why are you drafting a quarterback?
Why?
What you already have.
But they had
a quarterback who was in his 10th or 11th year. How long did you think he was going to play?
And plus, they've had. Even when they had Brady, they drafted quarterbacks.
Half the teams draft a quarterback in the last round or two.
Right.
It's a developmental piece.
I mean, the Patriots have Brady now, and they've taken Rohan Davey, Kevin O'Connell, Cliff Kingsbury, Matt Cassel.
Ryan Mallett.
How many Patriots quarterbacks have been taken?
I just don't think it was luck. I think
it was all luck.
But I don't think it was luck.
It was luck.
Right. I mean, that's fine. We can agree to disagree.
Pick that don't work out. Why not give them credit in this case?
Hey, Scott, you're talking to me. I would definitely give them credit if I thought that they were smarter than everybody else and got Brady in the sixth round, but it was luck.
They get the credit for developing him.
This is the man that thinks Belichick should be president.
Right.
No, I'm not saying all of that.
No, Fred thinks that.
I am.
And he's not even willing to say it wasn't luck.
I'm the one saying Belichick should be president.
Better than what we got now. The Patriots, like they always say, they're not collecting talent. They're building a team.
Well, they don't say that anymore because they got rid of the guy who said that, Scott Pioli. He's doing the media thing just like us now.
Now we do neither.
Paul, you jump on him all the time. Why not pick where you are or trade up or whatever?
I don't jump on him for that.
Well, people do that. You're Scott. You're right about that.
I don't like trading down. I think it makes it harder, but I don't jump on him and just say, why not just pick where you are?
A lot of people say that, though.
I think that passing up on guys like DeAndre Hopkins to take Aaron Dobson is stupid.
Your Binky Felger
says
that.
He's Binky Felger.
First of all, no, they don't. But that's beside the point.
It's going to work out because of the depth that we have.
Yeah, and they don't have any depth. That's the problem.
All
that's
right.
Why you allowed
Scott, we
got to
move on.
Yards.
But Scott, we got to move on. Thank you for the call. It was good call. I know you only call once or twice, but it was a good call.
I look forward to the next one.
Yeah. Bob writes
all about the realities and misconceptions of the Patriots dynasty.
We have so many emails. Everybody wants to get their take in about every subject that we've talked about so far. Bob writes in profootball.com. Mike Florio's site reported the push penalty occurred at the end of the Ravens-Dolphins game when the Dolphins attempted a 57-yard field goal and the Ravens used the strategy, but it was not called, and the NFL admits they screwed up. Fine.
Right, because the Dolphins sent in the video to ask about it.
Yeah.
And I also don't think it's a coincidence that it's a long field goal. I think coaches do this on long, short field goals.
Yeah, why would you do it
long,
on a short?
Low, I mean.
Yeah, why would you do it on a short one and run the risk of that if he misses it, I'm wasting a miss? You know?
Nick in California.
He's not going to miss twice.
I don't know if you got a chance to check out ESPN Boston's blog, but Yates did the breakdown for the fourth quarter. He noted that the Jets did the same thing on the game-tying field goal. Copples looped from the left to right and pushed his player so hard he flipped him over Akins. Refs didn't care for safety then. The Zebras stole this game from us, enforced the rule fairly, not just ensure the Patriots lose.
Did you? Yeah, that's what they did. Did you see what
I haven't seen the video. I've seen still photos.
Yeah.
That I don't really.
Fred and I, there was no step back. There was no step to the right. He was kind of twisted. He hit him with his shoulder. He hit his teammate with his shoulder and sort of fell into the A-gap. I don't think it was the same thing. Now, if you wanted to call it for safety purposes, I have no problem. Call it. If you want to, get over officious with the rule and just start calling it every time that you see contact between two teammates, call it. But it was not a step behind pushing the back into another player. It wasn't the same. Now, I have no doubt that this penalty has happened. This infraction has happened throughout the first 6 weeks of the season. It hasn't been called. I have no doubt.
I also want to know, like you said, it was so obvious what Chris Jones did. What happens when I'm rushing and you're rushing to my right and a guy pushes me down from the outside somehow and now I'm I don't like the rule, personally.
I don't like the rule.
I'm kind of deferring to Brewski just because he says it makes sense.
Yeah.
But
I don't like
the rule. And again, it's almost like we're going to get to a point where, okay, so just the kicker gets a free kick. There'll be no guys lined up either side. You know, you put it down, he holds it, and he can't. I don't know where we're going.
I think
we've lost our way as a league.
I don't even like the leaping rule that they call. If you jump like that, you can't land on anybody.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
I don't get that. I mean, it's a dangerous sport. I don't know. You can't legislate out the risk.
They're trying as hard as they can, but they can't do it.
They've lost their way as a league.
Aaron in Long Island says, why Rex didn't tell the refs? Because on Guskowski's field goal, Copples did the same thing. If Rex had told the refs to watch for the Pats pushing, you can be damn sure he would have cautioned his team not to do the same.
Yeah, Copples didn't do the same thing.
Alex from Philly, we got screwed. A penalty that almost never gets called, that I've never seen called in any game, that wasn't called all game until the game was on the line, gets called to give the stinking Jets the win, and I'm supposed to believe the refs were doing what was in the best interest of player safety? BS. Moving on, is Brady this bad? Are the weapons around him that bad? Or is the O-line this bad? Who is the problem on offense? Also, clearly we can't survive the injuries on defense, mostly Tlaib's. We've been hemorrhaging rushing yards since Vince was lost. Without Tlaib, the secondary regressed back to its god-awful 2011 form. If someone doesn't step up soon, or if reinforcements don't come on both sides of the ball, I don't see a solution to our problems. I know we're 5-2, still atop the division, and Gronk's back. No need to jump off the ledge, but I don't like where we are trending.
You know what gets lost in the Tlaib injury? And this sort of goes into the depth question. Okay, Tlaib's out. You know, any team that loses its number one defensive player of the year caliber corner is going to have a magic drop-off. What about Kyle Arrington getting benched? The guy who makes more money than Aqib Tlaib. He should be your next in line, and he's so bad you decide you have to bench him? Like, that to me is a much bigger issue than Tlaib. Injuries happen. Mm-hmm. You lose your best player, there's nothing you can do. But the fact that you gave this guy $8 million to be your either slot corner or third corner, whatever you want to call him, and a quarter into a game, he can't handle God's gift to the slot position, Jeremy Curley, and you got to go with Marquise Cole? To me, that's a far bigger issue to look at.
Yeah, I agree. I think that there's some, and I like that email because I share the disdain with the call. I hated it. I hate the rule, and I don't understand the whole thing, and I hate losing a game like that. I hate it. Did I get it? Did I get that point across that I hated it?
I believe you said hate.
But I think the rest of the email is also very accurate. There's a lot of things to worry about here. There's a lot of concerning things.
Yeah, but I can see all the solutions. Jason in Maine.
Give a quick rundown of them.
The offense is going to be better. It's all going to come together.
Other than it's going to get better, what is the solution?
It's going to come. The offensive line is going to play better.
No, why are they going to play better?
Gronk's going to get better with every game. Shane Vereen's going to be back. Austin Collie's going to contribute more.
Is there a chance that
Ridley,
Gronk gets worn down?
They're going to finally realize that Ridley's our number one back and treat him that way.
Well,
do you have any concern that Gronk's going to get worn down?
They treated him that way Sunday. He had 11 of the 20, right? I mean, he was your lead back.
Yeah.
He just didn't dedicate to running the football. And I also put that on the offensive line on some degree.
Yeah, and I think they did a decent enough job against the tough run defense.
Yeah, but third and one, try to get it.
Yeah, well, that was one play.
It was two. They had two third and ones that they got stuffed for
true.
No gain.
That's true.
To me, that's not good enough. I know they're good too, Fred, but you had a pair of third and ones. At least split them. Maybe we split them. Okay, we'll play 50-50.
But that's a little deceiving. They didn't get the third and one, but they got the fourth and one.
Right.
On that drive, right?
Yeah.
So on short yardage, they ended up converting on that.
Yeah, I don't really give them credit. You had two third and ones. You don't assume you're going for it. You don't get the play.
I understand that.
Get the damn play.
I understand.
You're the big boy offensive line that makes all the money and all the draft. You know, be the heart of the offense. And you're not.
Jason in Maine says, do you guys think that Brady focused too much on Gronk instead of going through all his reads, finding the open receiver? To me, it seemed there were too many times when he was taking chances on Gronk with one-on-one coverage instead of possibly finding a better option. What do you guys think?
The number itself, the raw number of 17 targets, is too high. But as I said earlier, with everything he's dealt with, the crap on this offense through the first 6 weeks, I have no problem if the when in doubt throw to Gronk is his theory right now. It would be mine.
And now I agree even more.
And he hates when his mic's not on. Did he say he hates it?
All right. Let's take a quick break. Food's here. Lots more emails coming in. We'll get to them right after this.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down. 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
Well, we were talking about back in the day when the Patriots had more dual practices, and the Giants used to come quite a bit down at Bryant College, where the Patriots used to have the training camp. So one day, the Giants were set to arrive, and at Bryant College, it would always be a Dell's truck set up. I love Dell's
frozen lemonade.
Yeah. It's like a Rhode Island, Southern Mass thing. You can't get it anywhere else. I don't know why. I would always get Dell's, you know, before practice, and one day, I decided, oh, you know what, I'm going to...
It's called slush anywhere else.
No. Dell's is different than slush. So I decided, okay, I'm going to buy all the PFW guys, all my guys Dell. So I go to the Dell's truck, and I get a tray of... I think I had like 9 cups of Dell. Just as I'm walking back, the Giants arrive. So all the Giants are walking up the path, led by their head coach, Jim Fossil. As I'm walking by, I say to Coach, welcome to the Patriots training camp. While you're here, you got to have a Dell's. And I'm holding this tray. She goes, oh, great. And he starts taking them and giving them out to his coaches. So I'm like Kraft when Putin took the ring.
Yeah.
What do you do? You know, oh, no, those aren't for you. So I let him take them, and I was out all that money. I had to go back and spend another $30.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
See what you get for trying to be an ambassador?
That's right.
Keep your head down and your mouth shut, like I would have.
I could totally see where he... You know, the miscommunication was, so I just shut my mouth and let him take all my Dells.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, we're talking about the game on Sunday. Patriots, a tough loss to the Jets in overtime. Let's see, Brian writes in. He says, if the video posted on Facebook by PFW was right, Paul is 95% wrong. The play by Copples was less egregious than what Jones did, but he did step to his right and push, or maybe more correctly, shoved the player in front of him into the line. Again, not nearly as flagrant as what Jones did, but he stepped right, then forward as he pushed his teammate into the line. Watch the video, Paul. Copel's shoulder was nowhere near the player in front of him except that it was attached to his arm. Pats did not deserve to win this game for many of the reasons you have been talking about this morning.
That's fine. We don't have to always see every play the same way. I hate the rule. I still hate the rule.
And
I think the Pats got screwed.
Sean says, I finally
agree. If you disagree, that's fine.
Sean says from West Palm Beach, I finally agree with Andy. Andy is absolutely right. The drop-off from Aqib Talib to Kyle Arrington was miles apart. Often I wonder how he's still on the roster. You're telling me Marquise...
Not only that, they gave him $8 million to keep him on the roster.
You're telling me Marquise Cole is better than Arrington? Andy, please tell me there is somebody who can be a reliable backup at corner to Talib.
Well, there isn't.
Can I bring up something with Arrington?
Sure, Paul.
Is it possible that...
He's hurt?
Yeah.
Well, he has a groin injury.
Right, but I understand that...
I don't know why he kept playing special teams if he's hurt.
I understand that the circumstances of the game were why he didn't play in the second half. I'm not saying that he didn't get benched. He did. I think he clearly got benched, but...
And he played special teams.
The fact that they used Cole in the slot after that... Okay, you want to replace him on the outside with Ryan? Okay, but... Marquise Cole is not better than Kyle.
But he's next in line. I mean, he's been their next in line slot corner for a long
time.
Right,
but why not Arrington back into just the slot where he was good
hurt.
Enough to play the first? That's what I.
Yeah, that's the reason.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Wait, I don't get the question. So why did he play special teams if he was hurt? He kept playing special teams.
Oh, after that?
Oh, yeah.
But maybe he was well enough to play, but they didn't think that he was well enough to play in the
slot. Well, then, as my most important corner maybe moving forward, I don't play him. I sit him down to rest him. To me, having him come off the order on corner on field goal block, I mean, that's going to put some stress on a bad groin. If he's not healthy enough to play, he is important to this team. When he's at his best, he's part of the defense. He's a part of the best 11 in passing situations. So if he's hurt, then okay. My hands are off Kyle Arrington. I apologize.
But you
don't look hurt when you are removed from not being able to cover Jeremy Curley, but remain on special teams.
Maybe it's just
that looks like you're benched.
You know, the swivel hip thing, you just couldn't do that.
And that's fine.
But
to me, that
this.
Doesn't get any better by having to compete on special teams. That's okay, we need to take the next 10 days off and get this healthy so you can get your swivel hips back.
Yeah, but I want to just, I didn't mean this as necessarily, let's take the spotlight off Kyle Arrington and give him a pat. No, he got benched on Sunday because he wasn't playing well. I'm just wondering if maybe that some of it had to do with his physical status.
The
now,
reason
maybe
he didn't play well could very well be the injury, but I don't think he was benched to keep him from the injury. I think he was benched because he sucked.
Right.
And
I agree.
And Marquise
that.
Cole is their next in line slot corner. I mean, that's who they've used dating back to last year. I mean, that's probably why they think he's valuable enough to give him a paycheck, cut him, bring him back, paycheck. Right. You know, that they think he's a decent football player, probably better than what we think he is.
Scott, New Jersey, when in doubt, throw to Gronk. Isn't that what resulted in the pick six that put the Jets back in the game?
I didn't say throw to the other team's defender. When in doubt, throw to Gronk. I have no problem going to a 6'6 guy and throwing it up and letting him make a play rather than throwing to Kembrell Tompkins or any of the other guys. I think that was a terrible decision and a terrible throw. He threw it right to a guy.
It was a bad throw.
Yeah. He said, I should never have thrown that.
But my general philosophy, yes, would be when in doubt, throw to Gronk. He's got the longest arms. He's got the biggest body. He's got the best hands. To me, that sounds like a combination of my best option.
It's Richard from Wales in the UK.
Hey, Dick.
I've emailed a few times, but never had a shout-out. Third time lucky, maybe.
G'day.
I'm emailing about the constant Brady bashing on Twitter and EEI about him being past it. I think people should understand he's human and cannot perform miracles with loaves and fishes like he was expected to of this season.
With what and what?
Loaves and fishes, you know, Jesus and all that. It's true he's coming to the end, but he's done enough at Gillette to earn him the right to walk away from this team when he's ready. That doesn't mean he'll always be a QB1, but he can call the time on his terms. The question I have to you, will he stay on as backup to help the incoming QB in a few years? Or do you think he'll sulk like Bledsoe did? Personally, I think our hope he'll be as gracious and give the rookie his experience and help. Great show, great iPad app, and I'm the guy that thank you all for being, as Andy put it when he tweeted back, men of the people on Twitter the other day. And oh, by the way, Andy, your mom makes a great breakfast.
Oh, your mother. Does he mean that literally
did Bledsoe
or figuratively?
Sulk? Actually, Bledsoe didn't sulk. He was a stand-up guy.
I want to give you credit, Freddie.
No.
You didn't even break character.
for the Jesus and all.
Yeah. Like he ad-libbed to answer your question without breaking character. That was unbelievable.
He's a method actor. That's
what
he does.
Really, really well done.
Once I get into it, what was his name?
I do not think Tom Brady will be the backup quarterback for
no,
the Patriots.
I don't think
when he's done being the starter, he's done being a Patriot.
Right.
Not necessarily that he's done being a quarterback. Just here, I don't see him being the backup.
Because, like,
you can't win.
If you're the backup quarterback, you can't wear sweaters like that. You've got to be the number one quarterback.
I was thinking more football-wise, like, if you're the quarterback and you go three and out on your first drive and, boo, Brady. Like, you can't win that game. You can't replace Tom Brady if he's still in your rearview mirror.
Noel from Denver. Hey, guys, this rule had nothing to do with us losing the game. Last week, I called in to discuss who was the better offensive coordinator, and thus far this year, I feel Josh McDaniels has done nothing to rate him high. There was no reason not to use Gronk as more of a decoy than they did and let the young guys continue to grow and catch the ball. I'd love to know how you guys feel about the play calling of Josh this year, especially when we get outscored in the second half. If you lived in Colorado, you would hate the Broncos and their fans. I probably would.
Well, I do hate the Broncos.
But if I lived in Colorado, I'd probably be a Bronco fan.
Well, you were at one point in your life, and you didn't even live there.
Right.
I don't think McDaniels has been at his best. I think he has this whole offensive thing. There's no one guy. It's not just Brady. It's not just the offensive line. It's not just the receivers. It's not just McDaniels. I don't think any of them have elevated their game in a tough time. I think they've all failed to build upon the tough situation. And I thought Marty. Where did that come
Marty
from?
Marty Morningweg?
I rarely do that.
You never have a Boston accent.
I thought Morningweg was really creative the other day. I thought he did a really nice job. I don't think Josh has done that. And if you want to criticize him for that, then add it to the pie. Whatever that little slice is that is his, add it to the pie.
Let's go to David, who's down in Texas. Hey, David.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, y'all?
Hey, man, I've got a question. Are we maybe talking about a different penalty here? Because, you can hear the referee call personal foul, unnecessary roughness, defense. And then he said, for pushing the opponent into the second level.
He said the wrong thing. It was pushing a teammate, not pushing the opponent.
And he
said the wrong
unsportsmanlike
thing. Comment. Yeah, it's supposed to be a personal foul, unnecessary roughness, I believe.
Okay, so...
But he definitely said the wrong thing. You are correct.
He called what he meant to call because the league put them on notice after they apparently blew the one in the Ravens-Dolphins game.
Okay, I didn't know that they had, made up their mind that they had called it different. But it kind of sounded like it was a totally different play. All right, that was all my rant.
All right, thanks, David. Chester's in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Tough way to lose, this team just knows as well. Just feeling, pretty concerned about that final penalty. And, my big question is why? It's a 54-yard attempt. And, all these guys had to do was raise their arms. I mean, with that low trajectory of the kick, that's what's on my mind. I'm just miffed as to why we had to pull extra strings to try to block a 54-yard kick.
I think that would be the time that you would try to do it if you were going to. And Andy talked about this when he came back. It's a lower kick, so you have a better chance of blocking it, and that's what you're looking to get, that interior penetration to get those guys up, because the kick's not getting up over the line of scrimmage quick. It's getting driven low. So I understand your frustration, Chester, because I'm with you. I hate this. I hate that call. Hated it.
Right. Yeah, and just, when I saw a 54-yard attempt, I said, okay, we've got a chance here, but, the rules are the rules. I'm hearing buzzes that there was a double standard in the game, that the Jets were pulling the same stuff. I don't, you guys hearing about that?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's
maybe
the question. And, anyway, the Quentin Copels, how do you see it? But there's no doubt that they're not the only team that has done this year. That is certainly, there's no doubt of that factor. Other teams have done this. They've even done it before.
But that's part of the reason why I am so against it. Because I know it didn't just pop up just
no,
once.
But they just basically told you, we're not going to let this crap fly
and
anymore.
Also,
knock it off.
And I also think they got caught for what Fred said at the beginning of the show, Andy, before you got here. It's another brazen disregarding of what was said. We're going to do it because we think we can do it this way. This isn't second level. We don't know exactly what the rule is.
But how do you not know what the rule is?
Well, that's
there's a rule book.
Again, you can secretly go to the ref or whoever before the game and say, hey, look, this is what we'd like to do. Is this okay?
Right. And he would have said no.
Right.
Right. And that way, you can't do it because now you have no chance of getting away with it.
And you would have taken over at midfield with a chance to win.
I know that, but I'd rather have them do that than
risk
that.
He's hoping to get away with
it. So now we get to a game, you know, defining play, and we're wrong.
How many times do you think this happens?
What do you mean?
I don't know. And I'm just throwing this out there. We know that all coaches, and I include all coaches, Bill Belichick, they look for gray areas.
Sure.
They bend the rules.
Yep.
They bend them as far as they can. If it happens to break a rule, they're trying to
and
do
it. I'm okay with that.
I think I'm fine with it, too, because everybody does with it. But how often? My point is, Bill may think of five other things that they did in that game that, by the letter of the law, they were breaking a rule. So you're not going to go to the official before the game goes, listen, we're going to push on field goals. Is that okay? We're going to do this. You're not going to list all the things you're doing that are gray areas.
I think you'd run the risk of just calling it to the attention
right,
of the
you're
officials.
Putting a spotlight on yourself.
Yeah, but
you can't do that.
And then you can't go back
can't
and
work.
Say, wait a minute, I talked to you before
but
the game.
But I think this one thing about you kind of know you're not living up to the spirit of the rule.
My point is I think they probably do that a half dozen times a game.
You think that the rule has to do with the second level, and you're not in the second level.
I don't mean to call him whatever. I don't buy that. The rule book says something.
Well, last year it did mention that.
Yeah, that was last year.
It didn't exist last year.
The rule was proposed with a second level language
right.
and was finalized with none such language.
They changed it.
I'm sorry. I find it hard to believe that attention to detail Bill Belichick wasn't aware, especially in light of this memo that supposedly went out 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, no.
You don't think that memo said that this is illegal?
I know. I think
what
I,
was that?
I think the pass coaching starts playing dumb a little bit. You know, the Russian Zoe brought up a great point a couple of days ago, is that you
That's
know Rob Ryan may have tipped Rex off and gotten these officials, you know, heads up early, and they were frankly just looking for it. I could see that happening, being that they're two brothers, you know, and I'd be interesting to see the film of the last week game. It was against the Saints, whether or not you know were guilty of pulling any of that. But
I don't give the Jets that much credit.
Yeah, fair enough. I just, conspiracy, just trying to think about how this whole thing panned out. But, you know, another thing, too, Brady's touch was way off, guys. I mean, you know, again, I think it's this internal, interior offensive line. He's hearing footsteps like he has years in the past. And, my main concern here is Wendell. And, you know, what can we do to fix this? I mean, I find him to be a super big weak link in this offensive line. I just feel like he's hearing the footsteps and it's affecting his decision making and everything alike. I mean, some of those passes are just.
Well, if that's the case, I think you move Connolly into the center and you put Zvitek in as guard.
Yeah. Or Cannon. You have two guys that have moonlighted as guards. They're really tackles. But
well, we don't
that
like
would
what
be
we
the
saw
option.
From Cannon.
No, we don't.
No?
We might not like what we see from Zvitek, though, either.
I didn't like what I saw either, you know.
Well, Zvitek was.
Anyway, onto a brighter note, you know, after I was sulking a couple hours after the Jets game, I work in the restaurant business and I'm working the floor and I see a couple out there in their late 40s and they're wearing Patriots gear and I'm, you know, fired up. I come up to them right away and I say, "Man, I can't believe we lost to those dog Jets." You know, I get a big smile out of them. So the woman looks at me and she says, "Oh, one of my kids is a Patriot. You got to be kidding me." You know, of course I'm all fired up. I look down, she's wearing a number 6 jersey. It turns out it's Ryan Allen's parents. His kid's kid. I had no idea.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Yes, he is from Oregon.
He's having a great season.
Yeah.
Although I would have liked to have seen him pin one of those inside the
He didn't have a good day. Kind of the other day.
Insight on this kid, and it sounds to me like he's really looking to make a mark. I'm, you know, told him that this kid's been such a key to our field position game, and thanks to him, I don't have to get called a punter every time I wear my Grogan throwback anymore, you know.
And, there you go.
You know, just lastly, it's just funny what a difference a year makes. You know, we go from beating the Jets in overtime last year to losing to them this year. And, you know, last year I told the heckling Jets fan that his mother's a punter. And this year I meet the punter's mother. Anyway, guys, that's all I got. I'm not losing hope in this team. We just got to continue to grow and get healthy and let's squish some fish next week.
Right.
I'm fired up about that. So
okay,
take it easy. All right.
All right, Chester.
That was a good finish.
I like that. It's
good story. Mother's
Andrew's in New York. Hey, Andrew.
Yes. Hey. More specifically, I'm from Buffalo, New York. But I've been a Pats fan since 2005.
Okay.
I never really started learning the game of football until I was like 14. So yeah, it's kind of weird. My parents, they're Buffalo fans. But I wanted to talk about Stephen Ridley because I don't think he was playing that much late in the fourth quarter or overtime. So could someone please explain that? Was he injured? Or I heard something about that he did a taunt when he scored.
He definitely did a taunt when he scored. He slowed down and kind of, what do they call it, mug it or whatever for Landry. But
Logan Ryan grabbed his crotch.
Yeah, I don't think anything Ridley doing afterwards was related to that.
He only didn't play down the stretch and in overtime because they were in their hurry-up, no huddle with their third down back. And they consider I think you can make an argument. I don't understand why he can't be part of that, but Bolden was out there.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but like Bolden, I know he probably got better hands than he really, but
I don't think he does.
I think he does.
Yeah, when it's first and 10, you know, you got to run the ball because they're teeing off on Brady. And I just feel like they should have just gave that try. Even if they're stopping you, just make them honest to where maybe you can even get a couple of yards instead of being second and 10 or second and 11, and now you can't convert on third down.
Yeah, but they don't look at it that way. They have very strict personnel groups. Half of what they do is based almost solely out of personnel first. And I think they are fine handing the ball to Brandon Bolden on first down. I don't think they think, oh, he can't run on first down and Ridley can't catch on. They just go with the personnel grouping they have, and I think Bolden is their third down back. I think he has better hands.
And the point I was trying to make was the last two times they got the ball, they're trailing in the fourth quarter and can't sit there and say, now's the time to establish the run. Let's hand the ball off six, seven times out of the next 10 plays, especially the last drive. Now, you're right, Andy. They had the personnel group, and they just handed the ball to Bolden.
Right.
I think he got the ball in the first two plays of the last drive, and they were able to get out of the shadow of their own goalposts, and they got the drive started. But the one in overtime, I think you could be a little more critical of. They had the ball for four plays in overtime, four passes, one completion, three incompletions. They never even attempted or even tried to deceive the Jets into thinking they might run the ball because Ridley wasn't out there.
Thanks for the call, Andrew. Robin in Alaska, like pass interference, this new pushing rule might have been seen more absurd than it is simply because of the cost of the penalty. 15 yards and a first down and a field goal situation for pushing. Safety issues understood, but that is a game-changing punishment. It's just like getting crazy yardage on a pass interference penalty. Not sure what would be better, maybe just a re-kick or something. A second chance seems to be a tough enough...
Don't do that again, you're basically saying?
Second chance seems to be a tough enough punishment over just handing a game to a team with 15 yards and a first down.
All safety penalties are 15 yards.
Absolutely. Unnecessary roughness is what it's called.
They need to change the culture when they're, so they have to have a stiff penalty.
Right. I mean, it's, it happens a lot. Those penalties are 15-yard penalties, and they change the game. It happens a lot. But they're on safety.
Oh, yeah. How often does it happen on, a sack or,
issues.
And it's a hit to the head. Yeah, the other night.
Yeah, Andy and I were watching the Steelers-Ravens game, and the Ravens come up with a huge play in the red zone on third down for a sack, and they got Roethlisberger all wrapped up. He's going down, and Dumervil ended up grabbing. It was definitely a good call. Dumervil grabbed Roethlisberger's face mask, but he was all wrapped up. There's nothing he could do. It was going to be, a drive-ending sack. He got the face mask. It's a 15-yard penalty.
That was actually the last safety penalty that wasn't 15 yards was the 5-yard.
Yeah, they
face
had five or 15.
Had.
Right.
Other than that, if it's a safety issue, you're getting 15 yards.
Jeff from Florida says, "I read the memo Andy keeps yelling about when that it went to the referees, not the coaches." Not an excuse, but just a clarification.
That's not what I mean, I'm just saying what Burt Breer said. And Burt Breer said all 32 teams were sent a memo.
But even if it didn't go to the coaches should know the rules. The memo to the refs were, you're letting it go. You need to call it. Do you understand what I'm saying? There might be a different memo. The players may have, the teams may have gotten a different memo about the rule. But the referees were told, you're letting this penalty go because it hadn't been called in 6 weeks.
Right.
I'm only guessing. Again. I hate it. I think it's a terrible way to have an overtime game impacted. Let's put it that way.
But it's like Fred says with everything. What better way to teach somebody, change a culture, and this is a different thing, but when it costs somebody game, then the other coaches go, they ain't messing around. I'm not doing it.
Right. The Patriots aren't going to do that again.
And I don't think anybody else will. Nobody else wants to lose a game.
Right.
So it's not worth it. It's not worth the risk. You always say that. You have to be overly judicious, kind of go to the extreme, and then people learn. Unless they're Brandon Merriweather, then they never learn.
Steve in Texas, the following old joke comes to mind. So, Coach, how do you feel about the execution of your offense? Coach's reply, I'm for it.
I'm all for it.
I actually used that on Sunday.
We could not buy a third down even if we had gold to pay for it. 1 out of 12, come on. The passing game, not sure if it was Brady being off target or the receivers having hands like bricks. The only issue I have with the penalty is focused on the defense only. If a quarterback pushes a running back forward for a gain, there's no harm and no foul. So the NFL arguing player safety is crap. The bottom line is the Pats failed to put their foot on the Jets' neck with an 11-point lead that should have been 18 points, but for Tom's pick six. I'm not jumping off the ledge anytime soon. Bring on the Finns. Tell you, I am not emotionally ready to lose to the
so
Miami
Dolphins.
If you're
on your own 15-yard line and you don't throw a pick, that's seven that you would have had
just you're to, on the 20 and throw a pick six, right? Because
yeah, I mean, the Jets were in the red zone when they threw their pick six, but I guess that didn't take seven away from them.
79 yards, Paul.
Max in New Hampshire says it seems the Patriots have moved Brandon Bolden up the depth chart over LeGarrette Blount. I feel Blount at least gives you a chance to break open a big play. I've never seen Bolden make any dynamic plays. That's not true.
Yes.
If it's just a matter of
Bolden's long run for the season is 46 yards. Blount's long run for the season is 47. So I guess that backs up the emailer.
If it's just
I love when Paul has the stats in front of him.
No, I do. I just happen to have the team stats are right in front of me.
If it's just a matter of ball security, then why isn't Ben Jarvis Green Ellis still playing here? Granted, neither one will start when Ridley and Vereen are healthy, but Blount seems like a better option as the change of pace back.
Why do you insist on saying Blount?
Blount.
Instead of calling him by his name.
It's his name. I did think it was interesting that he didn't play.
Clint from Newport News, Virginia. Good to see Dennard had made two huge breakups in key spots in the last 2 weeks.
I thought he had none.
Maybe he only had one.
Did you hear that?
No. I thought he had no touches.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Only one. One carry, 4 yards.
Clint, Newport News. Good to see Dennard made two huge breakups in the key spots in the last 2 weeks. Why is Blount returning kicks? I'm over it. He's
slow. Seriously, why do you keep saying that?
Blount!
He's slow and he looks terrible. I get asked by my non-Patriots friends and family every game, why is he back there? I have no idea. Why not McCurdy, Bolden, Boyce, Slater? Hell, Arrington has had some good interception returns. Put him back there. Anyone. I get that Washington was the plan, but he's old, washed up, and injured. Bill is refusing to let him go. It's time to give someone else a shot.
Bill's answer is basically he's had success with the ball in his hands in his career.
Yeah, that, and we traded a kick return to form, so we're just going to put
Bill has never actually said that part. Just what I said.
It makes no sense. You know, it's become comical at this point. You know, the plotter gets out to the 20, a 22-yard line if we get lucky.
You cross the 20, and I'm excited.
It's really gotten to the point of ridiculousness at this point. The only thing you could say positively is that he is a guy who has had ball security issues, and he hasn't had any issues on returns. He hasn't fumbled a ball on a kick return yet.
Terry
had seven foul balls.
It's the only thing I could say positive about the LeGarrette
Blount
kick return experiment.
Blount's forced trauma. Oh, what's the cover of our paper say? I still haven't seen it.
You want to tell him?
I said, aw, shove it. You don't like it? It's got a picture of the field goal.
I know what you're doing.
I think it was fine.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to do something when you texted me. The first thing I thought was it was going to be a foot joke.
Oh.
I thought maybe foot finish instead of foot fetish or something like that. And I was worried that we'd get in trouble.
Terry in D.C., just a quick note to congratulate Eric on his autobiographical rant about his Patriot fandom. It was a passionate defense against the haters out there. Well done. That said, have you guys considered doing a reality show for KSPPatriots.com that involve Eric and Bill Belichick as roommates? Like an Odd Couple sort of thing. Zolak could be the next door neighbor and burst in randomly yelling catchphrases like, where's the beef? I think this would be a lot of fun, and Eric would have lots of stories to tell on PFW about life with Bill and his various quirks. I suspect Bill would be interested in this. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
But, it's you know, keep thinking, guys.
It's a good idea.
Yeah,
everything
sure.
is going to be all right. I'm with Fred. You know, I just noticed the Jets played the Bengals next week. Patriots are going to beat Miami. The Jets are going to lose, and you're going to have your two-game lead back in one at the halfway point. Nothing to see here. Right?
The only reason there's nothing to see here is because you had a touchdown pass with 5 seconds to go against the Saints.
Okay.
Otherwise, I think there'd be a lot to see here.
If you insist on looking at the negative.
What do you think about Andre Carter coming in, Andy?
I like it. Now, I saw some people on Twitter getting like really excited. Pump the brakes. The guy blew out his thigh when he was here and has never been the same since. He's 34. I mean, it's a good backup move. Leadership move, you know, that defensive line, add to that group. I loved him when he was here, but I don't expect him to. He was the best defensive player on this football team the season he was here.
Do you think that the fact that they're playing Miami and then the Steelers, both guys who have quarterbacks that get sacked a lot because of their offensive line, maybe they're thinking, you know what, if all we ask him to do is get after the quarterback, maybe he can help us in these two games?
Oh, no.
No?
I don't think this is like a two-game thing. I think they're bringing him in to help the locker room, help the team.
I think maybe that said, you know, now's the time to do it.
Well, I was just stunned that they cut Andre Neblett, who Paul seemed to have
Aaron.
As the next Warren Sapp as a penetrating.
You know, this nonsense, you know, you and Beetle, I had to smack Beetle around, too. I made a comment, Fred, that, you know, we were looking for like a wild card key to the game. And I said, well, stopping the run. I
said, you said Andre Neblett.
No, I didn't. I said, stopping the run inside with these young guys, I said, and they re-signed Andre Neblett. So I'm not overly comfortable with what they have against the team that you know is going to try to run the ball. They made it out to be that Andre Neblett's the key to the game. Really? Andre Neblett?
That's typical.
Yeah. And then they cut him and they go, and then Beadle sends out a tweet with a hashtag key to the game.
It is true. It's typical. I've brought Beadle to my side.
Ridiculousness.
I'd rather they were signing to get back to the Andre Carter thing. I think I'd feel better if maybe it was like Gerard Warren or it's not the biggest need right now.
I see what you're saying.
It could be. As I said, you're one play away from Ninkovic or Chandler Jones being hurt where, okay, I'll feel a lot better if Andre Carter is at least in the rotation. I also heard Mike Reese pose this, and he's very good on the radio now.
Yeah,
I was listening to him coming in with Mutt Merlone. He was doing a very good job.
Okay,
but he posed the idea maybe Rob Ninkovic plays a little linebacker, and you see Jones, Carter, and Rob Ninkovic, you know, up on 2 feet behind
them.
Could
be. Yeah.
So that would be another option, maybe.
Yeah. Jay in New York says, first off, thanks for Fred for finally publishing one of my comments on curse words. It was nice to be noticed as my newborn son, whom I love, now has my wife's attention 24/7.
Are you jealous of your son?
I guess. All jokes aside, let me say that I'm not yet to the point where I feel the sky's falling. We've seen this from the Patriots before, and we usually pick ourselves up. That being said, we've struggled twice against the Jets this year. Do you guys think we've lose to them again if we met them in the postseason? Can they take the division from us? No, we would kill them.
Why do you say that after two games?
Because our offense is going to be better by then.
And what is the reason again? I know you kind of
nothing.
This
is like the fifth time I've asked him why, and I don't have anything. Nothing.
No. See, we knew it was going to be a roller coaster.
It's not a roller coaster. I got news for you.
Before the season started, we knew it was going to be tough. We are now at the lowest dip in that roller coaster. We're gonna be flying after this.
I think you can argue that, Fred. I'm actually with you on that because I think you can argue Amendola's coming back.
Right.
Hopefully. And yeah. Hopefully when he comes back, he'll stay.
He thinks he is.
For a period of time.
They got to show him where the door is, but, you know.
No, come on.
He's going to be fine.
Shane Vereen is coming back.
That's right.
That's two weapons added to your
Gronk
offense.
Gronk is back.
Gronk is going to be better. There's going to be a better chemistry with Brady. And
Ridley's now your first down back, they've realized.
And Talib. You know, Talib is not done for the year.
Right.
I know we're all scared.
Talib one is the only one I'm...
If Talib is back and you get those weapons back on offense, this is a far better football team than the one we saw on Sunday.
Absolutely.
If Talib is back, I agree. I fully expect the Patriots
to beat the Dolphins.
You don't like Shane Vereen? Vereen as Marshall Faulk.
But not to the extent where, I mean, Shane Vereen played out of his mind and they didn't move the ball on off. I mean, they didn't score any points in the game that he played. He was great. I don't think that those
because
are needle
they didn't
movers.
Have Gronk.
Because I don't think they're playmakers. I don't think they're needle
They didn't
movers.
Have a healthy Amendola.
Well, he was out there the whole game.
Listen,
he wasn't healthy.
You know, he made plays in that game.
People made fun of me this week because, you know, I said, thank God we're playing the Jets. Well, thank God because it could have been worse if we hadn't been playing the Jets this week.
Not necessarily. You might not have got your ass whooped by the defensive front.
No. With that defense.
You know, because they're good, Fred, and we can't ask our offensive line to be good against a good front.
Well, that's part of what I'm talking about. Like, we're just assuming that the other teams are going to stink when we play them. You know, when we get our guys back, the other teams won't be. They won't even. They'll cower. Yeah. Danny Amendola's coming back. Oh my God!
We'll be fine.
What are we going to do?
I'm with you, Fred. Things are going to get better.
Of course, they'll
get
better.
We're at the bottom of the roller coaster.
But we haven't been on a roller coaster. We've been on a flatline mine ride. You know, straight down. I mean, it hasn't been like an up and down.
One of those with the low.
You think the offense has been up and down
within games? Yes.
Well, Fred, no one gets completely shut out a whole game.
Right,
Jacksonville.
I mean. Yeah, they did have one good drive in the Jets game, the first drive of the game. You're right.
Did you pose your little theory?
I did. I put it in my read and react.
Yeah, but have you discussed it on the show? That's a sports radio topic.
Yeah, I think that the first drive of the game, we said this earlier, I think. The first drive of the game against the Jets, both games, the Patriots took the ball and went right down the field and scored. From there on in, they basically got shut down in both games. So it's clear that Belichick kicked the crap out of Rex Ryan during the course of the week in preparation, and then Rex Ryan kicked the crap out of Belichick and the adjustments and dominated from there. That's not usually the way it is for the Patriots.
Because they have
fastball.
Limited weapons. Allen writes in,
exactly.
I don't
and they'll be back.
I don't understand why we are not running the ball more to control the time of possession. The passing game is just awful, and blaming it on the rookies is getting old.
Yep.
Brady is missing plenty of open targets. The pass protection is well below average. The more you run the ball, the better it gets. We average, I believe, 4.6 yards per carry against the Jets. Why do the Patriots not run more during their offensive struggles?
I don't know.
No one knows the answer.
I don't know the answer. I have said I'd like to see them run the ball more. I'd like to see the offensive line. Logan Mankins has said he wants to run the ball more. We all like to run block more than pass block, blah, blah, blah. Well, they don't do it.
Andy brought up the point. I mean, they had a couple of opportunities in short yardage to line it up and run it, and they couldn't do it.
It's true.
So maybe you might have been able to keep tricking them every once in a while and pop a run in here or there, but you know, would you be able to do that enough times to win a game?
Is this just a passing offensive line? Which, by the way, isn't doing very well in the pass protection lately.
I think it all depends on who you're playing.
My question is, were you designed...
I have no doubt when we play Buffalo, we'll run it for 200 yards.
Were you designed... But I don't care about that. I don't care about doing stuff against crap teams.
Right.
Were you designed by drafting athletic, tall, tackle... You know, were you designed to be a pass-blocking offensive line that is ill-suited to be a powerful run-blocking unit?
It's worth wondering, but shouldn't like a guy... I mean, I don't know. Are they terrible run... I mean, shouldn't like Mankins and Vollmer... They're athletic guys, but they're big... Powerful guys, too.
Solder, Sebastian Vollmer is one of the strongest people on the planet.
Solder, I think, has got that mold of being maybe more of a pass protection tackle than a road grader.
I'm
although
just posing a question.
They've had some good success running behind him at times this year, but it would seem to be more so against the you know, depending on the opponent. Yeah. And I think that's Mankins'
You know, if they
lament.
See Deion Jordan on the field this week, maybe they'll run right at him.
By the way, a lot of people you mentioned about perhaps Ninko moving to linebacker.
No, Mike Reese mentioned that.
Oh, well, a lot of people are emailing that. Maybe they got it off of his because that would allow Ninko to be kind of take the play calling maybe away from Hightower, let Ninko be that guy at the linebacker level.
Wait, did you think play calling was a problem?
No.
I thought the problem with Dante Hightower is the lack of making plays and covering
people.
But
then you don't have to have Hightower on the field all the time.
Well, then
but he is.
He is. Now who's playing?
You put Ninko back at, and you put Carter back at defensive end.
Who are your three linebackers?
But who's the other two?
You got
Ninkovic.
You know, you got the Ninkovic and you got the Spikes.
Okay, who's the other one?
And the Jamie Collins.
Okay, so you want Jamie Collins out there?
You said you never saw Jamie Collins.
I'm not saying Hightower is off the field completely, but he doesn't have to be there all the time. You can switch.
By the way,
mix and match more.
Rob Ninkovic.
But you have him out there all the time.
And Rob Ninkovic can call the plays. Being a defensive lineman or a linebacker?
It's tougher when your back is to the defense.
Adjustments. Now you're talking about adjustments.
Yeah,
I thought you meant
ever
play
see a lineman being the play
Yeah,
call.
I thought you meant play calling. No, now you're talking adjustments.
Yeah,
okay,
right, yeah.
That's different.
Yeah.
Now I think Spikes can make those calls. If he can't, then you've just drafted a bunch of idiot linebackers.
Right, I don't understand. Yeah, I don't get it. I talked to you about this the other day, about subtleties. Maybe Ninkovic would be more equipped to do that. But you're talking about taking Collins out, not Hightower. Otherwise, you're really in trouble because you just started out the whole show by saying Jamie Collins is out there early in the game. I never noticed them.
Did you see them having a problem lining up or adjusting? And the Jets did a lot of different things motion-wise. I really liked that twin wing to split backs thing they did. I really liked that. I thought that was kind of cool.
Because you just like power running formations and you get all excited because they have
but he was in the gun.
Dorky fullback out
there.
He
was in the gun.
Tripping all over himself.
But I never once said, oh, they just can't get lined up right now. You know, Hightower's dropping the ball. I never said that once. I actually thought that happened more with Gerard Mayo on the field against the New Orleans Saints than it did this week with Hightower and the Jets.
Okay.
Silence.
Now
it sounds like Eric Allen is on the other end of the line and no one's asking a question.
Yeah, because for 17 straight years, Paul and I have alternated every question in the pregame social. This week he chooses to read his phone and ignore me.
Charlotta's calling in. She likes it when I call her that. I guess a welcome back to Andre Carter's in order. Curious to see what he'll bring to the team other than his veteran leadership, which I think is needed on that side of the ball. Since I'm suffering from memory loss, I can't remember seeing the Patriots play a worse third quarter of football. Bolden over Vereen, assuming were for his pass-catching abilities. The problem isn't converting on third and forever. The problem is what's leading up to that. I like what I saw from Gronkowski. 8 catches, 114 yards in his first game back. I thought it was pretty impressive. It will get a lot better, and it goes to show that even the best players need games under their belt to play good. Practice and being so-called game-ready isn't enough. With that said, I'm looking forward to Miami and their horrible O-line, even with the trade of McKinney. Great show as always.
Was that the first quarter, the Geno Atkins sack, and then the sack on the next drive from Gilberry?
Yeah,
very comparable.
The third quarter against New Orleans was very comparable.
But just the ass-whooping of the offensive line, I thought the first quarter in Cincinnati and the third quarter in New York were very similar. And again, I'm sorry, they're good defensive fronts, so I take them off the hook.
John's here for the playbook.
Why do you keep grunting?
What's that?
Why do you keep grunting for no apparent reason?
I'm grunting. I'm cutting.
John's looking a lot brighter today. Remember that time last week he was all in black? He's like very jeans, white Patriots shirt. Are you feeling good about this week?
Celebrating the fact that we've got one more day of pseudo good weather before the bad stuff comes in.
It is beautiful out there.
It's gorgeous today. 2 days in a row. It's been a great start to the week. It all goes downhill starting tomorrow.
You should have called in
cold,
sick.
Right?
Should have. What's that?
It's supposed to get cold, right?
48 tomorrow, and the rain begins, and it's supposed to be, I heard already, maybe gnarly for Sunday. So we'll see.
Gnarly
for Sunday.
Gnarls Barkley.
We'll see.
Like storm gnarly? Or just
no,
cold?
I don't think so. Just, you know, typical, you know, I mean, it won't be, you know, like the snow that we've seen in October before in the past, but it'll just be like cold, drizzly, you know, yucky.
Yucky.
I hope that that's not the case.
So what do you got, John? Are you up in arms about this call?
No, I mean, honestly, I think it's pretty clear to see that, you know, based on everything that I've read and everything I've heard over the last couple of days, that I think there's certainly some credence to the fact that the Jets tipped off the officials that this was happening, this was going down.
Fred doesn't allow that argument.
I'd be stunned. I would absolutely be stunned if Rob Ryan didn't do a little talking to Rex Ryan, simply because the play did occur in the Saints game a couple of weeks ago. So, you know what? That's the Ryans ganging up on Bill Belichick, and as far as I'm concerned, shame on the Patriots for not being prepared. That's I lay this one at the feet of the coaching staff, to be
quite
honest.
Well, certainly, all the other stuff aside, shame on the Patriots for not being prepared. Whatever the reason that led up to it, whether memos were involved or focus, whatever, the Patriots weren't prepared for the situation, and it burned them in the ass.
It's true. It's very true. So, you know, that notwithstanding, that's not what caused the loss. I think we all realize that when you look at the overall picture. I can't say that I didn't see it coming because I did take the Jets and the points last week. So,
Lenny Poffo over here.
Hey, 6-1 against the spread on the Patriots this year. All right. Wow. So, not for nothing.
All right. But
for so far, so good.
For entertainment purposes only.
Exactly.
So, you've been
exactly.
picking against the Patriots a lot then.
I have been.
All right. Well, John's
up. I
want to
make a change there
playbook.
In that playbook swap there, Fred.
All right. John's up next with the playbook. We'll let that sit there.
Yeah.
And the fantasy champs will be here at 4 o'clock. We'll see you tomorrow.
I can't feel nothing but this chain that binds me. Lost track of how far I've gone. Far I've gone, how high I've climbed. On my back's a 60-pound
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely. Subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.